expanding.
That's my secret.
Hey, we are recording, by the way, now.
Excellent. Okay,
bum, bum,
so,
bum.
Oh, I did my thumbnail already for this.
Yeah,
didn't I?
We saw it. Yeah.
We watched about 20 something episodes of The Expanse at this point.
Yeah,
20. Chris, hum the theme tune.
It was stuck in my head the other day. All right. Oh my god, my head wants to do Back to the Future. It's not Back to the Future.
Modern theme tunes are shit.
Is that it? Like that?
It's something I can't remember. I don't know.
It's a little bit like Game
of
Thrones.
It's an okay theme tune, but all theme tunes and all intros are the same now. For Prestige TV, they all have since Game of Thrones, they all have the same intro and the same music.
That's how it is.
It's quite hard to do because of the way it's got a lot of like Game of Thrones. The thing about the Game of Thrones theme tune and quite a few others is that there's a sort of counter melody rather than it all being together.
It's like Game of Thrones was fairly strident. Bam, bam, ba, ba, ba. It was fairly strident,
but that's not. But see, the thing is, that's not the tune.
But a lot of them now.
That's
are,
the backing.
Yeah, no,
part.
It is. Yeah, yeah. Mm. But a lot of them now, they're more soundscapes than tunes.
Yeah.
A lot of them now.
Yeah. The Expanse one is. Yeah.
Like if I went hum the Dallas theme tune or the Dynasty theme tune or Bonanza, Hamish would be able to do that immediately. But if I go hum the Severance theme tune or Westworld or it's just the soundscapes. Mm. Yeah.
Do you know what was a really good theme tune? Was the Where's Wally cartoon?
I don't think I've ever seen the cartoon. I've enjoyed the jigsaws.
I've enjoyed the books, and the cartoon was okay. You know, like, it's nothing to write home about. But the theme tune, where is Wally? Where is Wally? Where?
Oh, this is getting clipped.
I heard something about Where's Wally on some podcast or something. So Wally is obviously called
Waldo in America,
and his enemy is Oddlaw.
Enemy?
Which is, yeah.
How can a puzzle book have an enemy?
Well, he's the baddie. He's like bad Waldo, but the enemy is still called Oddlaw in the British version, despite that not being Wally backwards. And they were saying that Wally backwards would be say that in Welsh.
Icha.
Y-L-L-A-W.
Hwalli.
Which apparently means the hand in Welsh.
I'm pretty sure I didn't pronounce that anywhere near closely.
Which means the hand, and it is the hand that finds Wally. So they were like, that would actually be a good name for the enemy of Wally, because it's the hand, it's your hand that finds Wally.
Oh, right, yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's kind of cool.
How do you know about Wally, Drew? Are you from your niece?
They were just talking about it on a podcast. I saw the books. Probably from having younger sisters.
Younger sisters.
Yeah. I just encountered them.
Yeah, it seems more of a Chris era thing for me.
It was a very much something that I thoroughly enjoyed.
And cartoon. I didn't know there was a cartoon.
No, I didn't know there was a cartoon. Mm.
I mean, the cartoon does not really live on past its, you know, the cartoon is just a generic, you know, sort of IP, thing.
Yeah,
the,
we had stuff like, we had Pac-Man.
It's Carmen San Diego. There's a fairly recent Carmen San Diego.
I don't know anything about this Carmen San Diego person other than memes and stuff.
That was more our time. It was more American, but it was more our time.
I've kind of got an odd relationship with television anyway. Always have had,
me too.
As a kid.
Because I genuinely don't think that, like, British television was particularly good.
Oh, no,
like,
it was great.
No, Queen's Nose was rubbish.
No,
Venice Watch, rubbish.
I don't know what these things are.
My memory of TV growing up was there were three channels. They would shut down at, like, 10, 11 p.m. at night. And mostly during the day, there was old films and documentaries.
Yep.
And usually, like, I remember as a kid just being fucking rapt watching like a two hour documentary that was a real time footage with narration of a snake swallowing an egg. and just a dude, and there was lots of quiet spells in it. There was like what felt minutes of quiet, and then they would just go, the snake is beginning to crush the egg in its gut. And then, like, you know, 30, 40 seconds of silence. Like, you don't get that anymore. It's like coming up, and now you'll see, and then you'll see this again, and we just saw this, and like constant fucking hype, you know, hypey narration.
Do you remember when Channel 4 launched?
Yeah, we couldn't receive it. I was so sad.
I know, we could. It was, there was a lot of that was a hypey thing for some reason.
In fact, both of the houses I lived in as a kid couldn't receive Channel 4. We couldn't get Channel 4.
Right. Countdown, the very first show, and it was Countdown.
Yeah. Oh, that's quite good. Apparently, Carla knows someone who went on Countdown, and they said that Rachel Riley was very cold.
Oh.
She like she didn't really want to be there. But Susie Dent was very nice, apparently. That's what I heard.
Susie Dent seems very nice.
Yes. Yeah, she does seem very nice. And Rachel Riley does seem very
cold. I do sometimes think when you hear these anecdotal stories about celebrities and like, oh, he's an arsehole, I do think sometimes maybe he's just having a bad day. You know, everybody's an arsehole. Mm.
Yeah, that's the thing. You meet somebody on one day when you see a famous person, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Rod has once served Reginald D. Hunter in the Costa at the services he used to work at.
He's funny.
He seems quite nice. But apparently he was very visibly, I think, stoned off his tits. from all accounts, seemed fine. Just stoned off his
tits. This show does not endorse anything said by friends of Chris. And
that's definitely make a note of that. Like,
come out as lawyers. You know,
For the purposes of lawyers and all that kind
of
stuff.
For the purposes of lawyers, it's not your server. So, you know.
Oh, my God. I mean, I'll tell you what, down at the Little Chef, Rodders and Big Dave were all up to kinds of mischief, you know, that I couldn't. I mean, Little Chef is closed now, right? So we can.
Yeah, we used to have a Little Chef near here.
In case any lawyers are listening, Alan Titchmarsh is a murderer.
In case any lawyers are listening, fuck you all. You're a pox on humanity.
Do you know what? There's a little bit of bullshit in that, we have this idea that we sue, like, especially in America, like, people sue each other more than in the past, but that is actually untrue. Like, in the 18th and 19th century, people sued each other way more. The problem with lawyers, like, lawyers are good because they're our defense against corporations.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I'm not.
The problem with lawyers is that corporations now own all the lawyers.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And one of the things, I know a lawyer who, he's a nice lawyer because he worked...
No, he's not.
Because he worked for all the legal aid cases.
No, I'm just...
And he left the Labour Party when they cut legal aid.
Oh,
he never, left before that when the Iraq War happened then.
was the Iraq War before the legal aid? The legal aid was like the thing that like did it for him because it was like... It would have just hurt, like... Because he would have seen it and it just hurt so many people that he... It just affected. It was just a terrible thing, and you really.
Well, it gave real. It gave normal people a bit of a chance at some justice, basically. Yeah.
So we.
Anywho, I thought we were expanding.
Yes,
okay.
We kicked off the recording with it. Yeah, it's the end of the series two, but I don't know if this is a spoiler since we're about to talk about this episode anyway, but spoiler, it doesn't end. It's another Empire Strikes Back type ending. Doesn't answer everything, but it leaves some things hanging.
Before we get into any chronological events or anything, can I just say that there's a line in this episode that entirely vindicates what Hamish would not vindicate, that's the wrong word, but what Hamish was saying last time about they could have taken more people on that ship. I think Naomi goes, yeah, we got there with air to spare.
No, they got them picked up. Yeah, they got the convoy, the aid convoy to stop.
But they got there with air to spare, which means they literally could have taken more people.
But then that was made to be like a joyful thing,
like a good thing. Yeah, she was smoking about it. Air to spare. Oh wait.
Yeah, her and Alex were high-fiving each other about it, you know.
It's like we survived that famine with food to spare.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, more Prax and Amos partnership. Their dynamic is probably my favourite in the show at this point.
Prax is the new Shed, isn't he? He's the Doctor. Even though he's a plant doctor.
Bad at it.
Yeah.
Like when he says, if you were a plant, I'd say you've got a chronic lack. I can't remember what he says, but yeah.
Chronic lack of chlorophyll, I think.
Something like that, yeah.
And also, chlorophyll deficiency. I mean,
so you've seen the thumbnail that I sent over, but like,
yeah,
Amos is showing off his
he's showing his V, I was like, Chris is going to say something about that.
Well, I mean,
me feel I massively inadequate, I have to say.
I
used to, in my like, you know, late teens, early 20s, used to have a V.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
I've always had kind of an O or a W or whatever you want to call it.
I love that you just look down at it and look disappointed.
I mean, a V's hard work, right? Like, but also, I mean,
food tastes nice and stuff, you know.
I do kind of imagine that, like, if you spend that much time in the gym, like, you can't be that interesting a person, right?
You can't have much fun. That's what I think.
Amos's physique doesn't cross that line for me. He's not like bodybuilder physique. He's like, you know, go to the gym a couple of times a week kind of physique, like in a very focused way. But,
well, I mean, I forgot his name.
Holden?
No, the guy who plays Amos.
Where's Chatham?
Where's Chatham? Thank you. Yeah, where's Chatham? Was ex-military and stuff as well.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, to be fair, and you know, he does kind of have like as close to the perfect body as you can get, really, because it's not too much, but it's enough.
Yeah, he's not dehydrated and showing off his veins and stuff, but he is. And I mean, his arms are not. You know, there's a little bit of, you know, it's normal-ish.
It looks like a real body that does real things. Because sometimes when people spend so much time in the gym, they got all the vanity muscles.
Yeah,
but they don't look like they've done a day's work in their life.
Yeah,
you know,
they almost look like
they've had surgery rather than.
Yes.
Oh my God, have you seen the people that have had surgery for muscles? Oh my God. There's a reason it's not. Basically, they look like fucking Popeye the Sailor Man, and it's fucking hilarious.
All right.
They look like they've badly photoshopped themselves in real life.
Nice scrawny arms with like a...
It looks absurd, ridiculous, and yeah, there's a reason it's generally not done. It's fucking ridiculous.
Although like ass implants and calf implants look like that as well. I think a body develops in a natural way. You can tell when it's unnatural.
It's just not coming.
Yeah. And also, like, you can do ass-based exercises. Apparently, if you clench your buttocks when you walk upstairs, it gives you an ass workout, a little bit, you know, like a little bit of a free ass workout.
I'm clenching my buttocks and unclenching my buttocks right now.
Yeah, you go. You're going up and down quite a bit.
I've got a huge arse, that's why.
what do young people say about asses being large? What's the words?
Thick.
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 Yeah. Hey, Amish knows the fucking Gen Z.
I knew one. Don't get too excited.
I mean, I'll
fail at everything else. I just happen to know one by accident.
I am a sucker, as Sir Mix-a-Lot might say, for a big juicy double. You know, nice. that's why, shamefully, Priti Patel has hips for days, man. Like, have you seen her hips?
She's an attractive woman. It's annoying.
It's annoying.
The evil seem to be, well, the evil can afford to be attractive.
Well, to be fair, like, her, Kimmy Badenoch, like, she's very attractive as well.
I'm not into Kimmy Badenoch, you know?
Even Suella, like, not as pretty.
And like, Penny Mordaunt.
Yeah. Because I watched The Coronation, right? And when she came out holding the sword, I didn't realize it was her. I was like, oh, she's quite pretty.
Yeah.
Like, oh, for fuck's sake, it's Penny Mordaunt.
Fuck's sake.
Anyway, moving on from evil people being attractive.
I do think the fact that they are kind of a bit evil is kind of a bit of the...
Oh, yeah, a bit of a turn. Yeah.
All right,
because
okay.
it's like Kim Jong-un's sister.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yep.
I don't know what she looks like.
Back in the day, I think we mentioned it before, but I had a bit of a thing for Sarah Palin.
Yeah, Sarah Palin. Yeah,
I could sort of see that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's we can fix them, you know.
It's definitely, it's like when you're attracted to like a right wing evangelical Christianity thing. It's like,
oh, wow,
Christianity out of that.
Mm. She should be running North Korea. Wouldn't turn her away for a seat at the table, would you?
She doesn't look anything like I expected.
were you expecting someone a bit more round?
Yes, basically, yeah.
She looks like a killer, you know? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
In a sexy way, right?
Yeah.
Yes, she does look like she could have you killed quite easily. Well, she probably could,
but Bobby has a bit of that for me. Like, she, like the fact that she could pick me up and break me over her knee as part of the attraction, I think.
Yeah, Bobby could destroy me.
Mm.
And she's also welcome to, hey.
But I'm not a sub. Mm. It's not like I want her to dominate me, but there's just something attractive about a woman who could just fucking, like, you know.
Up until recently, I've almost always gone for a more Amazonian type woman, to be honest.
I generally lean petite. I like a petite.
I'm tomboyish petite.
Yeah. Petite,
oh, right, lady. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like all shapes and sizes.
Yeah, well, yeah, oh, yeah, people, yeah, people, yeah. It's people in the end of the day that matter, isn't it?
Yeah, but I like
people that are out there. We're being very
And man-wise, I like Miller. Yeah. Miller is my, like, I think I like an older, grizzled.
I was watching him the other day on something on the Predator movie that he's in. Mm.
Oh, The Predator,
the third, fourth, fifth.
Oh, I've already seen the first and second.
The rest of them,
Miller. Miller's probably the kind of thing. I'm more into femboys, so. And I don't think there's any.
Yeah, no, no. With girls, I'm into tomboys, but with boys, I'm into very rugged, but in a kind of sophisticated. Mm. I like a slightly younger Terrence Stamp.
Ooh.
Very attractive. Oh,
okay. Star of Elder Scrolls 3, no, 4, Oblivion.
Yes.
Also, Superman 2.
Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Star Wars Episode 1.
Hang on a minute. Who's Terrence Stamp in Star Wars Episode 1?
Is the Chancellor before?
Yeah. In the Senate. Yeah.
The Palpatine Chancellor.
No, before him.
The one who gets like deposed or whatever.
Now you've got me doubting myself, and I'm going to have to double check I'm not meeting it.
No, you're right. You are definitely right. Yeah. I think
I don't. I can't picture the person you're thinking of. The character. God, it's been
General
a while since
Zod. Yeah, and the episode one, Phantom Menace, is the Chancellor.
General Zod.
He's General Zod in Superman. Superman.
Oh,
2.
Right. Okay.
Here you go, Chris, in chat. At home, you can Google it yourself. Terrence Stampin. That's the wrong chat. That would have been out of context.
Just a random picture of Terrence Stamp.
My enter key's being. There we go.
There we go. Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
In the middle there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the one on the left or the right.
I can't even tell you.
He was very hot as a young man as well, though, Terrence Stamp.
He looks quite different as a young man, but, he kind of... He's one of those people that looks a bit different, but he aged well as well. Mm. Yeah.
Sorry, Chris, you were going to say? I can't tell you... What I was going to say.
Yeah. Anyway, we could talk about The Expanse.
That's a good idea. Mm. Take us through it.
Okay, cool. All right. So, Heir to Spare. We get a close up, really, for the first time of a proto person.
Monster.
The proto monster thing. Yeah.
I don't call them a monster.
I don't. To me, as somebody who's a huge fan of Monster Girls, monster isn't a pejorative for me. It's just a way of looking.
Okay. Proto creature.
Proto
molecule creature. Well, is that what's the first thing we see though? No. See, it's a literal. No, let's go chronologically because it's a literal cliffhanger. From the last episode to this, and it's literally it's on the yacht where they've all pulled their guns and Avasarala and Bobby's like covering her up and all that stuff. Yeah, the guns.
Oh no, well, I mean the last thing is the last thing, but We'll save that for the bit, because I've got things to say about that.
Oh, I'm sure you've got things to say. I'm talking about from the last episode to this episode, though.
So the beginning of this episode,
the beginning of the episode I'm talking
about. Take us away on the yacht.
Oh, okay, on the yacht. Yes, on the yacht.
The very first thing that happens is the yacht thing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So
they pick it up literally off.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Not the end of this episode, the end of the last episode.
Yeah, last episode. Okay, so they're on the yacht, they're held up, hostage situation. Bobby is I don't know, accesses a computer from somewhere, like on the smart TV or
something? No, you hear her, if you listen to, she says private something or something, a private view or something, and it's like a little, it's the same screen, but nobody can see what she's looking at. So she's using says something like discrete view or something like that to the computer.
Yeah. Do you know, they have that in real life.
Who does what?
Private view. They have this in real life.
What does?
We do have, you know, the private view that she, So, you know, so private view is the thing where only one person can look at the screen.
No, I meant it's not shown it on the big screen. It's shown her. So she's using the same computer that's shown that big screen. She uses it to show her the little screen.
Gotcha.
But at risk of derailing us very early, what are you on about?
Yeah, you're talking about something that's only visible from a certain angle. Yeah,
there's a filter you can put over things like phones and laptops.
Well, that's how old LCD screens used to work by default. Yeah. You literally only see them
They had it's not a grid. What's the word? It's not a filter.
Polarized.
Yeah, but there's a word for it, isn't there?
But it's
no, I can't quite remember the word.
So basically, I remember seeing this on one of the shorts platforms, where someone was on their phone and it looked like, oh my god, this person is just using a turned off phone. What the hell's going wrong? Have people glitched or something? And then it was like, and then it cut to someone demonstrating this technology that it was like a phone that looked like it was off unless it was pointed at your face.
That's cool.
So it's like privacy thing. I thought that was what private view. That's what you're talking about with private view.
No, what I meant was it's the same computer bank thing, but instead of showing on the big screen what she was looking at, she saw a little private version. It could be a combination, really.
It could be. I mean, I can't imagine, like, for some things, if, like, it makes it, I imagine it makes it very difficult if someone's looking over your shoulder. So I don't. Yeah, but anyway,
I've never cared. I mean, everything I look at straight on. I've never understood this. Oh, it's got a wide viewing angle. I don't fucking care. I'm sitting staring straight at it. And if I've got one to the side, I've got it turned towards me. What do I care what the viewing angle is? who sits and looks at computers in a huddled up in a group? You know, and, Drew, you've gone
you've
quiet.
Muted yourself.
You've gone completely silent, buddy. No, not on there. No. Don't know. No, have you knocked your microphone? Maybe knocked the cable or something. No, something over there. No. Gonna have to go and come back.
And then I'm gonna have to go and come back because we're out of order.
You're out of order, Chris.
Hello. I don't hear nothing.
No, Drew, we still don't hear you.
Have you? If you slick,
there you are.
Oh. My fault. I had apparently pressed my mute myself key binding, but I was also muted on Jitsi at the same time.
No, you weren't. You did mute yourself on Jitsi afterwards because it shows us.
It said I was. Hang on.
And then it came back again. There's a little indicator. We see it.
We don't know.
Right, Chris.
Well,
you're out of order.
Oh, right. Okay.
That's your fault, Drew.
Yeah, that one was my fault. I apologize to all concerned. I'll shoot three CEOs to make up for it.
Good. You were you've sunk in your chair since you said
God
that.
God damn it, so motherfucker!
You're practically behind the map now. Behind the map, behind the flag, not the map. There's no map.
Should it just get to the point where we put the flags on above our heads?
Then your hair enough. Would be covered, and the images you put up would be.
Oh yeah.
I mean, we could take the flags away. But then
the flags are great.
But yeah, no, I wasn't really going to do it because I was going to say it's the only concession we have to this being something other than just a picture of three of us.
Yeah. Oh, but I do have a thought, an idea. This is a little bit outside of the realm of the podcast.
Okay. I thought you were going to say something about that. I thought it was getting one of your theories about the expanse.
Oh, no.
I always get excited about this.
this is actually one of the shows that a few people I know who are not particularly techie quite enjoy listening to.
That's cool.
And it would be cool if there was some like an email address or something on the something that people could give feedback to without having to sign into anything or sign up to anything.
All right, okay.
We could think about that later, but like for maybe when we start series three or something, it'd be nice if we just have
put it on the either screen.
Yeah, put our
feedback put at our, the polarbear.co.uk.
Something like that. I'll do it
while we're speaking.
Oh my god!
Oh no! The polar bear isn't set up. Hang on. Yeah, there is no email at the polar bear.
HamishTPB@gmail.com.
That exists.
Oh, does it really?
Does it?
I never look at it, but it exists. I can't.
Okay. And
now you've got me worried about where my servers are connected.
Oh, whoops! But anyway, yeah. I mean, we could see if we could either host a feedback form or something, or like.
Yeah, I think everybody's got email.
Yeah,
email's probably easier than fucking around with some web-based. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, that aside, I mean, we could have one each, or we could have all three.
All three of us would be fine, and we can all log into it together. As long as people don't pop and use IMAP, and it'd be fine.
That's nice. Okay, so.
Oh, that's nice.
Lovely jubbly. Bobby makes a break for it out into the air ducts, just like Deus Ex.
Well, first of all, they reveal Spy says, "We've got your power armor on the ship," and she's like, "Ooh."
And there's a bit before that you're skipping over the best bit of that whole first section.
Oh, the negotiating thing.
No, before the negotiating.
What's that?
What we'll never make, you know, when Avisar Allah says we'll never make it. And she says, yeah, you'll never be able to climb up that. Not because I'm fucking old, because he's been shot. And then he says, of course, yeah, but she is actually really old as well. You know?
that did make me chuckle. Both times I watched it, actually. So Bobby makes a break for it. And I'm assuming that covering fire basically lets her just make a complete stealth exit. They shut the doors.
Bobby, during this episode, Bobby is Deus Exing all the way through this ship, and I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like watching Deus Ex.
Yeah, yeah. Because the thing is, right, in real life, at least in British buildings, we don't have air ducts that people can climb into.
I don't think they're a thing that exists. In fact, she actually describes it as a crawl something, like a crawl, a maintenance crawl space or something. Like Jeffrey's tubes in Star Trek, which, yeah, I don't think they're a thing that... I mean, of course, if you've got a lot of cabling, like a shit ton of, like in, you know, the Channel Tunnel, where you literally have a service tunnel next to the main tunnel and stuff, but... I'm not sure they're really a thing that exists in real life.
No, it's a plot device, I guess. And also, she just hooks it off. Like this,
it's a bit of a.
No, that's the one in the lift. It's the one where she's going initially. Yeah, she does just take that. But I mean, if that is supposed to be a maintenance thing for the engineers on the ship, it does make sense.
Yeah, but I've never, and there's not that much. There's a bit of cabling in there, but there's not that much.
No. It's pathways for engineers to get to the innards of the ship that would be between the bits where you live in.
Yeah,
it's like secret tunnels.
I suppose so. I mean,
like a service tunnel.
Yeah, because the thing is, in my mind, because that's a pleasure yacht, right? Which, as far as I can turn, is quite close to a space station, right? Like in terms of its function, right? The pleasure yacht might just drift a lot rather than be a place to go from A to B.
No, this is a powered ship, like a yacht.
Yeah, it's a powered ship, but you'd
go out, you'd anchor up, and you'd have a holiday
Or like it, you might live on it for long periods of time.
Yeah, yeah.
And
cruise ship style
type of thing. Yeah, yeah. You might, especially if you're on the run. Like he's probably living on that thing, and he might just be, you know, like you know, just, you just turn the engines off, or you just to like, you know, just keep, like, once you've hit a momentum, then you can probably turn the, and you don't need to be anywhere. Mm. Turn the engines off and...
Although you would have then no gravity.
Would you not even have inertia if you were still...
No, since acceleration. No, gravity. But no, they could just go around in a circle. They could just go around in a circle to keep the gravity.
Yeah. So I suppose, I mean, I don't want to pick holes in the gravity side of things, because you obviously have to make concessions when you're making a show like this.
Yeah,
but, and that's why all the stuff on Ganymede doesn't have weird gravity.
Yeah.
It would be ridiculously difficult and wouldn't really serve much other than stopping some nerds like us from going, the gravity's wrong.
Yeah, because, like, I suppose, unless there's anything I'm missing, like, surviving and existing in zero-G or very low-G, other than the biological things, is probably kind of fine.
I think, like, it makes moving around kind of difficult, right?
You'd engineer for that.
That's fair. Yeah, like on the space station. Everywhere. Yeah,
you know, maybe you'd have lots of smaller rooms bigger rooms.
But
or
when you're someone like Jules Pierre-Mel, he wants to sit in a dining room and have, you know, he's got chefs and whatever, and he wants to have food delivered, and he's got to suck food out of a bag and that. I think he would want gravity just to maintain that, you know, billionaire lifestyle.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know. Like, you can only speculate, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Because, like,
let's get back to the plot.
And it's also revealed that the reason why Spy is so personally attached to Avicerella.
I like that bit a lot. That makes me
the way he explains it is different, from just the basics that we knew.
Like, he
because they offer him an out, basically. They say, leave Avicerella, you can go out, and Avicerella thinks he's considering it when he would not consider it, you know, ever. And
I suppose, and I like Spy, I forget his name, Cotier.
Spy.
Cotier.
Hey! He basically says, because she starts saying, you owe me or something, and he says, I don't owe you anything. It was your son I failed. I owe your son, and I'm paying him back by keeping his mother safe. And that makes me tear up. That's lovely.
That is lovely. And also very understandable.
Mm.
Like, sometimes, you know, it's probably from a writing point of view not easy to come out with motivations as to why people do things counter to their survival.
Mm.
But if you're living with guilt, that's a big one, right? Like, guilt makes people do all kinds of mad shit, really. You know, because you know how the brain just twists and distorts all these kind of things, and things like guilt, and you know, like,
Lovely it's a lovely moment, and it strengthens our appreciation of their bond. We get their bond.
Mm.
And then, of course, they surrender because Avicerella advocates for it, and then they're about to shoot them.
Yeah. I mean, I think in a lot of cases, like, do they really want to shoot Avicerella? They probably don't.
Yeah.
Like, that's an escalation that drives things. Well,
he gets the order to do it.
No, because remember, Avicerella's gone here in secret. Probably virtually nobody knows she's gone to meet with.
Well, they've got an escort outside the yacht, but they're cut off. Mm. But it could well be that either communication's been cut off, or Erin Wright's bought them off or whatever as well.
Yeah,
so they
want
another option, you know.
So they could kill her on that yacht and, like, at least, like, plausibly deny it. Like, maybe not convince anybody, but, you know, not enough evidence that. But yeah, he wants her. She is the thorn in his side, and he wants her out of the picture.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is, and I suppose Bobby as well. Actually, like, he probably
The Martians want Bobby back.
He probably doesn't care much about Bobby, but
he's
not important.
Bobby probably can mess up the proto plans. You know, like. Mm. I think, again,
that's speculation.
That is speculation, but she's not important. Like with Avicerella, she's important. Ergo, she's got that protecting her. Now, it might not necessarily make her invincible, but it might give pause for thought for anyone just randomly shooting her.
I would think, but at this point, Bobby's done the damage that Bobby's going to do from the Martian / your PML perspective by handing over that tablet with all the secret information on it.
Possibly.
That's true. Yeah.
But they do still want her back.
Oh, yeah, to punish her.
Yeah. And certainly, if you guys privately send me an email, not an email, an email address each, that you want me to forward this feedback at thepolarbear.co.uk to.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
It'll be set up. Do you want me to do that like
now as we're doing a podcast?
Yeah, just do it. Just send me an address and I'll add it to the list.
All right. I'll pop it in the thing.
And you'll all get a separate copy, so it wouldn't interfere with anybody else getting it.
Okay, I'll give you, so
you can
my...
get it however you want. It doesn't matter, anything at all. Don't say anything on the recording. Just send me something.
The one I've given you is my general like feedback address for that kind of thing as well. So it should go into the same folder if it's forwarded to that. So that address that I've given you, it can be public. It's chrisware@posteo.net.
Don't tell people another address. That's just confusing things. It's feedback@thepolarbear.co.uk.
feedback@thepolarbear.co.uk. Right.
And I'm going to add it to the screen.
Excellent. Oh, brilliant. Hey, look at that. Real time interactive television type thing. Okay. So, Bobby has an okay. I've got a question. I've got okay. So Bobby escapes, and then she beats up the two people.
Yeah, the guy's got the sort of biometrically tuned coded gun, so she can't fire it. Mm. Yeah, and as Drew says, he says, "Oh, oops," and then she just kicks the shit out of them anyway.
So. But the thing is, she doesn't have she can't use the encoded gun. So she throws them into what is presumably the recycling or something, gun recycling.
Gun recycling.
No, I think she just throws one of them into the incinerator type thing. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, incinerator. That would be the proper way to dispose of a gun, presumably, right?
Yeah, I'd imagine so.
Especially for, you know, dodgy dealings. but one thing that, and this always bothers me about most, more so in computer games than on TV, but she beats them up and then they're knocked out with with Z's, or Tweety birds going around the head, because it's like
or like in Deus Ex, they're knocked out, don't need to worry about them.
Yeah. Like, and I hate that. Like. There's a couple of the earlier Hitman games where they would be out for like a couple of minutes, and even
I hate when they wake back up. It annoys the shit out of me. I know it's realistic, but
I get that. But like, I wish that the two things about stealth games that get me are silencers and knockouts. Right, silencers are not like super just, you know. like in some games, including Hitman, you could shoot a silenced weapon in the same room as someone else with their back turned and they wouldn't hear it. It's like, what the fuck? Come on. Like, you know, so I would, and they should give you rewards for not using silencers and not knocking people out, to, like the realistic challenge or something. And you just have to either have to ghost or distract them or something like that.
The CEO assassin used a silencer. Like movie style.
Oh, did he? Homemade or real, or do we not?
No, what they're saying, I don't know. But what they're saying is like it seems like he was a professional. Like he knew what he.
Well, there's other people saying he seems like an amateur. So
yeah. I mean,
but also they're saying that the shell casings had warts scratched into them, and it's based on that book that was talking about basically the fraudulent nature of the.
It could have been an enthusiastic amateur.
But yeah, that's true. It's America, guns and everything. Chris, there's a thingy for you to look at if you want.
I think they're properly called suppressors, but
yes,
I think there are ones that are very quiet. Like it's based on how long, how wide, how blah blah blah. There are ones that can be very quiet. It's about the girth and the length.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like so many things in life.
Yeah.
I just about said something really bad. Even for me, it would have been bad. Right, stop. Carry on.
But apparently, he made his way away on a bicycle, which he apparently,
that's not a bad idea in a big city, yeah, is it? Because try to get away in a car in a big city, or you know.
Yeah. Apparently, the cops didn't have a chance. Like, if he was in a car, cops would have got him.
Yep. Yep.
Bicycle. Yeah, yeah. I noticed the fuck cars.
This might be absolute bizarre thing to be talking about on this stream for people watching it in the future. Of course, you know.
Well, for people watching in the future, this is what sparked the revolution.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I was seeing. I don't know how much how reliable you can take this, but I have seen on social media that apparently insurance claims are being whizzed through now, and it's shit. Has that assassin actually literally, is he literally saving lives?
Well, I mean, it's self-defense of the poor.
Self-defense,
Has he done more good in the space of 3 minutes than any Democrat fucking politician or president in the space of the last 50 years?
Yes.
I've never wanted copycat killers to emerge so much more than that. Sorry.
Crowdfunding assassins is the next thing, isn't it?
In Minecraft.
We're talking about Minecraft. Yeah.
Talking about video games and TV.
Video games. Yeah. But, you know,
this is not a legally binding podcast.
Hang on, one thing. Yeah. I just got to say, does it count as our Christmas miracle?
Because
it's a little bit like the end of the year thing that kind of brings people together in a kind of joy. Was it last year where Greta Thunberg got Andrew Tate arrested?
I think it was.
I didn't realize she was involved.
At the end of Scrooge, Scrooge doesn't learn his lesson, and then Tiny Tim just walks up and executes him, and everybody cheers.
This is such a Christmas miracle. It's literally
it's the post Christmas earlier tradition. that I boosted on Mastodon on the Fediverse. I don't know, Mastodon. I shrimp on my case. But anyway, I posted I reposted some, and it was somebody saying that, you know, I'm going to have to read it out now, or else my brain's going to not forgive me. It's important to live your life in such a way that if you're ever gunned down in a public New York City street by a random shooter, the entire nation doesn't celebrate like the Ewoks after the Death Star experience. And that's it. I mean, it's like when people, you know, like I said it earlier, it's like when people say about Thatcher, like, oh, you should, you know, she's somebody's grandmama and blah, 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 you should have respect. No, fuck, she was evil. She did horrific things to this country.
I will say this. There is a difference here in that the CEO's family also benefited from all the shit that CEO did.
Yeah.
That's,
you know.
That's what I'm saying.
That's somewhat true to Thatcher, but I mean it's more so with the CEO.
Yeah.
But Thatcher's kids are scumbags as well. I mean, they're horrible people.
I'll take your word for that. I don't.
Well, you never heard of Mark and Carol Thatcher?
Don't think so.
Oh wow, you're lucky.
I suppose so. I mean, it's but there's one. It's like Ted Cruz's daughter. She apparently underwrites him at every turn and is quite amusing. So I'm not gonna, you know. I think it's Ted Cruz's daughter. Yeah, who's quite
underwrites him.
Undermines him.
I was thinking, is this some sort of insurance that I don't understand?
Oh,
also, I wasn't making fun of you. Fun of you when you use the wrong word, but that time I got confused.
Yeah. I tourniquet. I meant truncate. I knew it was truncate.
you got tourniquet in your head is what you said,
I do this
right?
as yeah. well, Chris. Yeah. I won't yeah, worry yeah, about yeah, it. I do yeah, it as well. Yeah. But it just, I notice that I've sort of got an editing head, so I can spot things in other people's writing and speaking or whatever.
Well, can you give me some editing head?
Hey! Hang on, I'm just I went the wrong way. Mm. Damn it.
No, it's right for me.
being a good proofreader and editor is it is actually quite a rare talent. Even in the world of newspapers, if you can do proofreading well, you're so fucking valuable. It's such a valuable.
I don't think I'm valuable, so you're all right.
You are valuable. Shush.
Valuable to me.
Oh, well,
you
thank
are
you.
Valuable. Like I mean,
special
you are,
gem.
You are the star by which the polar bear extended universe orbits around.
Mm-hmm. By which it orbits around.
No, by which others orbit around. You are the sun of our system.
Okay, let's move on.
You're getting embarrassed.
Let's talk about Bobby and the Nerd, because I love
Bobby
that bit.
Bobby and the Nerd. Oh, my God. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
a good little bit, yeah. Yeah, since
he's
we're
quite a fast... He's
a fast
what
thing.
I like, isn't he? What, you know, he is. I like his character. But what I like about that scene is it shows that... Because all we've seen so far is Bobby as a grunt.
Mm.
And this shows she can read people. When she starts saying, are you serving a worthy master? Will your death be an honourable death? Like, and all this stuff that's like...
Oh, and before that, she tries to bluff him that she's...
And he says,
there's no other reason to be down here. And she's like, yeah, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, it's just this and the laundry, but I'm guessing you're not...
And then he's like, can you dom me a bit, just so it doesn't...
That bit made me laugh. I was like, I don't suppose you could, like, rough me up a bit or something.
And then her expression just goes,
yeah, that's okay. Like, that's not the first time someone was asked that, is it? just a bit of spanky bossy, you know.
I've been a naughty, naughty boy. I need a spanky bum bum.
The late night version.
The late night version. Yeah, and then that was
a special little treat for Paul the Nerd. Let's get him to watch this one.
And then she comes back in. I didn't realize her suit of armor basically gave her super strength.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's power armor. It's
remember
got motors
she remember she arm wrestles it.
Oh, she does, doesn't she? Yeah. Yeah, did she win?
Yes. Yeah. Bobby That's Strong.
Right. Yeah. Look at his face. Bobby's strong.
Yeah.
He's enjoying the thought of that.
But the thing is as well, she goes back for Avicerella and Spy, which she didn't have to.
Oh, yeah, no, she is.
Yeah, but she did protect Avicerella and everything. You know, she's obviously...
That's why the defection scene is so meaningful and moves me so much, is because she's defined by her loyalty.
Mm.
And she was loyal to Mars. She realized that they were evil. And now she is loyal to Avicerella. And she will, I don't imagine that was even a question in her head. She just did it. And when she comes through that door, the way that's framed, she looks like she's framed like it's like an angel, like an angel coming down, saving her. Then she holds her hand out, and Avicerella looks out up at her with like literal adoration. And that is beautiful. That's like love. Right there, just adoration, and she's an angelic figure at that point.
Yeah, it's. But I suppose from a more like pragmatic point of view, she ain't got nowhere else to go.
I mean that too. Yeah,
she could have taken the skiff by herself.
Yeah,
but like, where to and to whomst?
I mean, wherever she wants. Good like, point. She's very resourceful.
Yeah, but the skiff's not going to go very far. So,
well, the yacht. They know about the yacht at this point, don't they? About the Razorback.
Mm.
Oh, is it? That's so it was the Razorback that's on there.
I don't think that's probably a minor, but they've mentioned that there's a racing yacht.
Yeah, they mentioned that there's a racing yacht there. That's it.
The reasonable assumption that it's a...
Was that a tell there, Hamish?
What? No, I've got that thing in my eye still.
The Razorback, is
no,
it?
No, it's not. No, I've been doing this like the last few episodes. There's something in my fucking eye line just like there now and again, and I can't.
Is it a ghost?
No.
Okay.
Do you know why?
Okay.
No,
because the ghost is in the Discord room at the moment.
I accept, agree, and believe that ghosts don't exist, but we have them in this house.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah. But I mean, you know, French ghosty haunts our Discord room. Tell me, is it like
that's true.
Phantom français.
Les fantômes français. Anyway, moving on back to so that's pretty much the end of we've skipped a few details, but that's more or less the timeline of the whole thing.
We've missed some details that matter, which is
the negotiation part and then
negotiation. And I like it when the bad dude initially says, "I want to negotiate," and Spy goes, "You do?
You do? Well,
that's lovely."
Yeah. And it's then like, there's negotiation. Why would you want to negotiate? You know.
And then there's Avatarella sticking her fingers in his wound. The way he looks, again, perfect casting, perfect actors. Just the way he looks at her, like pissed off, amused, and understanding all at the same time in an expression. I love it.
Yeah.
I think Cotier Spy.
He's great.
It feels weird calling him Cotier.
Cotier.
He's Spy. Cotier. I like calling him Spy.
Cotier Ghazi. Ghazi.
That's what Bobby calls him as well. She just calls him Spy. Yeah. And so, yeah.
Yeah. And he's, he's particularly well cast. And I think he comes across, I think we talked about this last time, as very flirty. And to all the women.
He's got that kind of charisma where he's playing a very serious role who's saying very serious things, but there's a bit of like lightness to it and comedy. Like it's always like he's a little bit of a wink and a smile when he's saying it, but not in a way that turns it to comedy and makes it silly. Just a little bit of a sparkle in his eye.
Yeah.
Like a good spy would be a wee glint
in his eye.
Defuse the situation.
He's not actually meant to be a spy as such. He just happens to get spy things to do. I know his job was being a spy, but he gets taken on as Avicerella's
sort of
bodyguard and fixer, really.
Yeah. But spy like she wants him for espionage things.
Is spy an actual profession? Yeah. Because there's like different types of like.
Oh, different. Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah,
like you're usually called something that's like a spy is like if you do something like people who do corporate espionage, are they really spies or are they? What do you do for a living? I'm a spy. Like,
they all say they work for the State Department. That's what you say when you're a spy.
What about in Britain?
No idea what they say in Britain. In Britain, they probably just go, "Yeah, I'm a spy."
Well, there's that thing. Who's that politician that's like does like weird and wonderful things, and people say, "Oh, is it Rory something?"
Oh,
Rory?
The one who does the podcast with that twat,
Rory Stewart.
Is it Rory Stewart?
Yeah. I'll tell you what. Just before we get on to the next section, I'm just going to go for a quick space piss. I'll be right back.
You go for a space piss, and I will check out that it's Rory Stewart. Yeah. Because they make fun about it on Have I Got News for You when he's on one time, and he's like, he's climbed. What was it? He says scaled the building that he got locked out of or something. He's like, yeah, that's just normal things for an MP to do,
One thing I like about during the 60s and early 70s, like Britain's. But like the MI5 and MI6 were rife with like Russian spies, like double agents, and like there was so many, like loads of them. So like America was terrified that they must be infiltrated as well. Like the CIA must be infiltrated. Well, no, they had witch hunts. They had witch hunts for decades and never found a single spy. It's just like, which is kind of understandable. I think they are more away from that, and we're closer to. I'd be a Russian spy, drop of a hat, Not now, the not Russians, this Russia. What? No.
Soviet spies, is that what you mean?
yeah. But yeah, they never found a single one in America. Which is great. Not at, any kind of level.
I mean, but you've got to think, well, they're either very good at it or...
I do lean that they were just because I think to be an MI5, to work for MI5, you just got to be a bit like Oxford, Cambridge, bit of a twat, bit like, and have a certain view of life. Whereas to work for the CIA, you've got to be a fucking fanatic.
I wonder if that's how it works out with the Mars and UN and Expanse then.
Possibly, they did.
I think they did MI5 trials at my university.
Oh, yeah.
MFI trials. That's what you're doing, building the wardrobe and stuff.
I thought, why have they got me putting together a cabinet?
This is weird for a spy.
Well, it's just like the guy who runs IKEA got elected prime minister, but you know he's taken ages to put together his cabinet. You know.
Oh.
I mean, I'm going to keep doing these. You know, it's not going to stop.
Bad.
It's not going to stop. You know.
That's one of those ones that hurt me a little bit.
good.
But isn't the IKEA guy a bit like
the dude who founded it was a straight up fascist? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
and it shows like they.
I was just making a joke. That's all I was doing.
The visual style, like the visual aesthetic of IKEA, is kind of leans that way as well.
Chris has been messing with his hair while he was at the space piss.
Anyway, yeah, where are we in the show?
So we've finished. Okay. Well, we finished one section, so we're okay. Yeah, we can move on to a different thread. So what other threads have we've got? The other thread is the Rocinante one, which is probably the big one throughout this. And we've got a thread on the science ship. Yeah, on Venus. Yeah, and the Arbogast.
That's the one. Arbogast.
Well, do we want to leave that one to the end? Because that's the thing that's hanging.
They both end on big hangers.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
And actually, I think the Rocinante cliffhanger is probably like, well, anyway.
Just pick one and go for it. Yeah.
Let's go with Venus because I I really enjoyed that. Like I think there was a proper bromance between.
Well, So they start off. It starts off with them, like one of them saying what the other one would say.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say this and I'd suggest this, and you'd say, "Oh, we can't do that because of this," and then you know.
I do like that because I think it's when we got into teleology as well. Like a couple of episodes ago, I said I really like their relationship, and you were like, "Why?" And I was like, "No, it's yet to come," kind of thing. But yeah, the way they develop into like really like friends who get each other is lovely.
Yeah,
because the thing is, in a relatively close quarter space like that, they'll either become lovers or like kill each other.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I'm glad we all got on so well.
In this little box thing here that
we live in.
Yeah, well, it's amazing the amount of work we've managed to put into the different backgrounds to make it look like we're actually in a studio. We're in like a little studio all together.
Yeah, hang on a minute. Is this bit on the script? Oh, yes, it is. I see. Yeah. Sorry, lost my place on the script there for a second. Yeah.
Hang on, the producer's saying something to me.
Yeah, get on with it. We're on Venus.
I'm a cunt, apparently.
Well, we all knew that already.
Is that Greg Wallace? Is he our producer now? Because he's got kicked off of MasterChef.
Who's that?
He's the latest.
Oh, is it Me Too?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I actually don't know much about it, so I do apologise if it's a particularly sensitive one. But I think he's just generally been a bit of a bit. I don't want to temper it because I think it might be quite bad.
Yeah, let's just leave it there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. but
there's some sort of accusations and allegations.
Quite a lot of them, apparently.
Yeah. Like, anyway, this could be watched at any time. This could all be.
He's done the old Alex.
Huh?
Alex. Alex from The Expanse.
Cassandra. Oh,
there we go. Yeah. And
we're not making light of this, by the way. Before we...
No, we're not. No.
We're making light of CEOs being killed. That's what we're making light of this.
Yes, that's what we're making light today. God, I hope more happens, but only in Minecraft. Okay.
In Minecraft, yeah.
In Minecraft, yeah. The CEOs of Minecraft have...
And, you know, and then Half-Life, and not Half-Life, Deus Ex.
Mm. Oh, yeah, Deus Ex, yeah.
Yes.
Anyway. Venus.
Okay, Venus.
Right.
Arbogast.
So the Mars shadowing ship,
we've not seen inside the ship. We've not seen or heard anything from it other than the shadow in the Arbogast, have we? We've not seen...
We saw it. I mean, I know this isn't what you mean, but we saw it race down when
Oh, yeah, the, yeah, no, I mean, before that, we've not had any, yeah. like...
No, no, no.
Hint
no.
or
But we assume what happened to the Arbogast. We assume that happened to the whatever.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. But I'm not talking about.
No, I know.
I'm talking about like we've not seen on board that ship or anything before.
Yeah.
So all that was what the Arbogast knows.
No communication from it even.
No communication from it, but also, right. So I think it was last episode or the episode before where we saw something get blown up. What was it that we saw got blown up?
Well, in a Venus-y context.
No, Venus. Ganymede. Alex saw it. Was it Ganymede?
Yeah, it was the ship that was sent to pick up the protomolecules.
That's the one. Yeah, that Erin Wright shot down, right? And Alex said, oh, the heat signatures are all over the place, right? So it must have been blown up, right?
No, that's not what he says.
Yeah, he describes the ship.
He says it's dead. It's been destroyed.
Yeah. Like he points out that it is like, yeah, the heat signatures have dissipated or something, which is obviously it being destroyed, right?
I don't remember.
Okay, we're with you. What's your point?
Next point. So the Mars stealth ship, it shot below them.
That's not a stealth ship. That one.
Oh, the shadow ship. The ship that was shadowing the Arbogast. It fell down to Venus.
No, they were trying to beat them to it, I think. I think what you said was right.
That's what it looked like. They were trying to beat them to the surface, but it disappeared.
Only from... Oh, that's Drew's breathing. I wonder what the noise was.
It's Drew's breathing. Oh, for fuck's sake, is that happening again?
Yeah, it's all right. No, I just, it was like... Can I hear someone in my imagination? It was very subtle. It's okay. We don't hear normally. I mean, we don't... No, it disappears from the...
Readings.
Yeah. It's not that it disappears from... Like, we don't see it suddenly vanish or anything. It's they've got... You know, they're tracking it on their sensors and they lose it.
It goes whoosh out of view, I think, is all we... Yeah.
Yeah, that's all we
see. Yeah. It doesn't get blown up.
I assume it gets expanded, viewed, exploded.
I mean, this is the thing that it leads up to, right?
Yeah.
Where basically, so I looked at this like frame by frame because I was partly because
I knew you'd like that bit. I knew you'd like that.
It's cool. Yeah. It's cool.
The thumbnail material was quite. There's some good thumbnail material here, but I mean, it's such an impactful thing, like scene,
yeah.
And like, it does so obviously the work of the protomolecule, yes. Presumably,
yeah.
No, the Martians have got another new weapon. We don't know, but
well, this would be a particularly interesting because it just disassembles the ship, right? It doesn't blow it up.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have I've got a theory, I suppose, on that.
A Hamish theory
for one.
Can we hear it yet, or is it?
Yeah,
is
no,
it
no, it's, okay. It's not. No, it's not. We're loving that word now, aren't we? My theory is that, especially just from this point. Not, I mean, obviously, I do know things that happen in the future because of other stuff. But my point is that I reckon. That what's happened is it learned, the protomolecule learned from what happened on Eros, right? And it's set up its base in the Eros crater now and so forth. And I reckon it's done that in a less destructive way deliberately. So it's taken everything apart, but it hasn't killed anybody or destroyed anything. It's just like you can literally see computer panels and things like have been taken to pieces without being destroyed. You know,
that could link into what we're saying about
maybe alive as well. Still,
I think that links to what we said about it's only been under the control of evil people before, and now it's like self-directed.
This seems to be self-directed almost.
Yeah, and it's being a bit nice. It's being a bit nicer.
More like. Yeah. Well, I love that, curious. I think.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
It's dissembled. That's not blown up. That is
dissembled. Yeah.
But I love that.
Dissembled. Dissembling is lying.
I love that.
Disassembled.
I love that. Australian science man is enjoying it. Like he's looking around.
He's
like,
this is cool.
He's not scared. He's like, I fucking knew it.
What are you going to do?
Aliens.
You know what you're going to do. You know.
Yeah.
I like that they're all sort of half sitting as well.
He breathes. They're not in Venus's atmosphere. They're either protomolecules either made a bubble around them or protected them in some way. Yeah.
Or terraforming.
or Venus has been terraformed, yes.
Or in the process of terraforming.
But it wouldn't need to terraform itself for Smurfs.
But also, it could be, and this is just a thought here, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe, now I don't want to be, there might be some like prejudices that drop into this. So I apologize in advance, right?
You're not going to see some anti-Chinese again, are you?
No. So it seems like Eros, the protomolecule on Eros might very well have absorbed the ideas and thoughts of everyone on Eros.
Yeah, I'd take that as read, yeah.
Yeah, and it might be steered by the Julie Mao, the Miller, something to that effect.
Well, I've got a theory too.
Mm-hmm.
So you know my theory alpha about Miller was guided to the proton mm-hmm. molecule. The proton molecule wanted him and he was guided to it. Possibly mm-hmm. Julie too. Maybe the proton molecule needs scientists right now.
That's exactly where I was going.
So, the reason
I was a bit worried about it being prejudice is like, what? Hang on, there are no scientists on Eros? But it looked like it didn't have a huge science.
Yeah, certainly not like maybe people who worked in science, but not somebody,
super duper.
These are top men. Yeah. So, and top science equipment. You know, like it's like, mm-hmm. how does this work? So mm-hmm. this looks to me like it's the protomolecule learning.
And Perky Tech.
I'm Perky Tech as well.
Oh my god.
She's a very Perky Tech.
Oh my god, you can't tell me if Perky Tech is an ongoing character, but the way you talked about her implied that she was an ongoing character. So I mean,
well, she's called Perky Tech.
I don't see how that's the case.
I think they'd give her a name, you know.
But yeah, go on.
Just the way that you talk about Perky Tech as if she's just like...
No, I'm just like, amused by the naming of some of the characters, you know?
Yeah.
That she might not be dead either.
Well, I don't think any of them are dead. That's the point.
Yeah.
Oh my god, the face on one of them, who's just like... like, what the fuck? I'll try and find
it. Well, you know, there is a sort of feeling of that if you're in that situation.
Like, yeah, but he's
like,
got...
Like, we've not been blown up, I mean, we're not dead...
That, I think
what
that
the
is
fuck's going on, you know?
It's literally the face I made when you were eating that vegan sushi.
People have captured that and used it as a meme now, almost. Are you trying to find a picture, Christopher?
I'm trying to find the picture.
Hang on, I'll see if I can zoom you up. Yeah, I've got it zoomed up. No, you put your head to this. You put your head back in the middle. Back in the middle. That's fine. I can see him. He's like...
What the fuck?
What's going on? People at home got to see that. You're all right.
Yeah.
And there's people in the back. Is that Perky Tech over your shoulder, actually?
Ooh, let's have a look. That doesn't look like a silhouette. That could be.
No, those are the two science guy and science military guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
No,
sure there's other...
No, I think we're pointing... You're looking at different things for me.
I hope Perky Tech is there. I hope she's okay.
Yeah. Well, I think they're all... That's the point, though, is that...
Right now, everybody's
okay. They've not killed them. I mean...
Excuse me.
It might be just be a matter of time since everything's been dismantled, but...
See, it was all dismantled at once, though. And so if they're not being dismantled, if they haven't been dismantled at this point, then they're probably not being dismantled.
Yeah, I don't think... Well, they already know enough about human physiognomy and physiology.
I mean, the proto-molecule might be a sort of like a collective, not collective consciousness, but it might absorb their consciousness and then it becomes part... Mm. They might not survive as, you know, autonomous, meaty people, but I think we are starting to get the sense that there are personalities within the protomolecule. This protomolecule.
And I have there's something I've forgotten. The exact details of, but there is a point where one thing happens and then something else happens and it seems to be connected with protomolecule. Was it when the protomolecule monster creature gets killed that this happens?
Is there
a coincidence with that? Or
like
that just...
in the past, we've had things being synchronized, right? Yeah. Things happening at the exact same time. Yeah, no, I think I thought that as well. I don't know whether it's right, but I think I thought that.
I didn't really think that because I feel like
chicken tonight.
chicken tonight.
Sorry. I've forgotten that existed,
chicken tonight. I've literally never eaten it.
I'll tell you a little story about that once.
Okay.
Chris finishes his
thought. I think, to me, I thought the link would only ever be like thematic or narrative, rather than, because I think that they're very distinctly different.
I think in the past
they've at least implied that when the proto molecule does something in one place, often it does something in another place. Something big happens to it.
I think that's just because it's the end of the series, but I don't know.
You might well be right in this case.
But I mean that to me has asked more questions. It hasn't answered nothing.
Yeah, I think this show's got a knack for.
No, they do. They do just before this all happens on there. Mm-hmm. The Arbogast is, and they are talking about something, and there's a very definite. There's a very definite answer to whether there's a building a structure, and yes, there is. There's a structure being built.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And the atmosphere is being changed around it as well. That's all answered in this episode. So you know.
But yeah, this show's very good at not doing what Lost does, where it creates a mystery and then it just drifts. But creating a mystery and give you partial answers and more questions. Like I love that. I love that. It's like you understand more, but then you have more.
It's the Empire Strikes Back ending.
And the difference between those two, between this show and some of those mystery box shows, is what's happening in this show makes sense.
Yeah, like that's the big difference.
It comes from somewhere and goes somewhere.
It's another piece to the puzzle, you know.
Remember that you used that exact wording, actually.
Okay.
That is a thing, isn't it, Hamish?
Puzzles.
I'm gonna back channel this one.
Okay.
Kinky. So chicken tonight. Here's my silly chicken tonight banter. I didn't keep this. This isn't prepared banter, Chris. It's not up to your standards.
This is totally.
It's just something
banter.
That came. It's something that no. It's just something that came up when you mentioned chicken tonight, or when I mentioned chicken tonight. So when I worked in a bingo, I used to work for a bingo company, and bingo companies they'll get some strange promotions. It's just whatever's on offer, they'll get things. So you'll see strange prizes being offered, just whatever they got at the warehouse that week or whatever the company got a deal with. And chicken tonight was one of the things that we had. So we had the chicken tonight theme playing as a little jingle now and again and everything. And on the stage we had like a big tower of chicken tonight jars. and we all got a couple of jars and
I've never eaten it. Is it? Was it good? Yeah. It looked like
I never had it with chicken, but it was all right. It was just a sauce, just a cooking
just a
sauce.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like you get was it Mother's Pride? No, not Mother's Pride.
That's flour in it.
No. There's they make.
Oh, I know the one.
Home Pride.
That's it. Something like that.
Cooking sauce. It's just a cooking sauce. There's nothing. But it is. It was quite nice.
I had chicken Grossman today.
Something you had some mustard. What?
Lloyd Grossman.
Oh no, his stuff's horrible.
Never had that either.
No, I've had a couple of them and they were disgusting.
Really?
No, I didn't like his at all. It was too chunky and horrible. Anywho.
I like a few chunks.
I'm going to go and see what I've been.
Who lives in a house like?
Yeah, but Lloyd Grossman's a twat as well. So you know.
Is he? Oh,
I don't like him. I'm going to check
like
the back channel.
Is he like a Greg Wallace? Asshole or
an arsehole. Asshole.
I think he's a bit of a Tory, right?
Oh yeah.
I may be wrong. If I've slandered Lloyd Grossman, I apologize.
If not, fuck you, Lloyd Grossman.
Yeah.
If you're not the one we're thinking of and you're actually okay, then well done. I don't think you are. Anywho, you made me giggle with that. It's not
okay. So remember.
Yeah, I'll remember that for future, yeah.
I love how the balloons go out when it's descending in the Arbogast, is it?
Well, they say I like say rig for atmospheric flight,
and then the little panels go zzzzt in
synchronization. I love that they still call it,
and then
they still call it rigging. I like that continuity.
I wonder how the fuck it's what the atmosphere is like super.
corrosive,
dense, and well, it's hot. Yeah. It's hot enough you can melt.
It's very hot, and I think one of them's on the
real said it, in real life. It's like, you know, it's like it's, melt
it's
lead.
Gaseous sulfuric acid or something, isn't it? Like that.
I'm just going to check the melting point of lead.
Quite low.
Low.
Yeah, it is quite a soft thing, isn't it?
I mean, it's a very,
I thought you meant. Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's not. It's not. But I mean, it's still 600 Kelvin.
What's that in?
In old money.
Celsius.
Well, that's just add absolute zero.
I can't convert.
Okay, 327.
That's pretty hot.
Degrees centigrade. Yeah.
That's
well, Venus
that's
not
is that hot.
Yeah, no, I know, but yeah, we're not talking thousands of degrees, but what I'm saying is it's hot enough to melt lead. It's quite a hot atmosphere.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
it would kill us.
I'd be.
And those
I'd
balloony
be
things,
warm.
What the fuck are they made of? You know, that they can survive 300 degrees centigrade.
Something with a slightly higher melting temperature than lead.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, so, you can have something like that. Tin. You can have. You can have
ceramic.
Have, I don't know, like.
Inflated
Kevlar.
Ceramics.
Yeah.
But the point is. Trying to make there is that Venus is the hottest planet in the solar system, so you know.
Oh yeah.
Oh no, you argued with that before, didn't you? What were the
maybe the protomolecule was helping them.
Yeah, I mean I don't doubt that there's something going on there, yeah.
The protomolecule can fill all plot holes in this particular regard, I think, can't it?
Protomolecule's like that's a lot of lead you've got there.
I'll have that.
Shame if something happened to it.
Shame if something happened to it, yeah.
Gonna make a lot of pencils.
Apparently, I have to stop for a space dog piss.
Well, while you're doing that, I'm gonna make a space dog piss cup of tea.
Oh no, that's gonna leave Chris by himself though.
Oh, Chris is by himself. He can
yeah, but it's a recorded show. I don't like leaving somebody completely.
Oh, right. No, it's great.
I'll be 2 minutes.
Okay, I'll be less than 2 minutes.
All right.
Or possibly so, 2 minutes.
All right. You're getting in the way of my vampin. So for the end of the series, there's a Peanut's there. Oh, he's so lovely, isn't he, Peanut? This is a Peanut appreciation show. I almost said something else that's a bit wrong there. I really like that ship, but when you saw that ship being disassembled, like in this bit here, it definitely felt like it was a very small ship, didn't it? It really felt like, because all of the scenes in the Abogast, they were all in that one room. So it's like there must have only been a few sleeping pods around the outside or something like that. And that's like all they got. Like they were probably eating their dinner off their laps and everything like that. And that was probably like a trip that lasted like probably weeks, maybe. Like a good couple of weeks. So I don't know, that just like you can literally see everything all lined out there. I think the proto molecule is terraforming Venus. That's what I think so far. Terraforming Venus, and it's gonna be like another faction, maybe, like the OPA. But and maybe it might recruit the science guy and army science guy.
We're going to have to watch the video back to find out what Chris was saying about us now.
All of the racist things that I was saying. Also, quick plot line a single scene plot line that we did miss.
No, we've not. We've just not got to it yet.
Oh, just not got to it yet. Yeah, that's the one. Dr. Strickland.
Uh-huh. What is he doing this one? I forget what Dr. Strickland does.
So
he's got May. We know May's still alive.
Off one of the moons of Saturn, we see May being put into an ice freezing
cryogenic
pot.
Thing, yeah, and she goes to sleep.
Cryogenic.
She has her eyes open.
Let's use the proper term. That's space Tupperware.
Space Tupperware, yeah.
Again, they obviously had a good CGI budget for this last episode because they've got a really cool little trolley thing that's automated. It goes in, push, and then the little cryogenic chamber slides off, and then the trolley thing sinks down and goes into a space underneath, and then it all lines up perfectly, so there's no gaps.
It is a bit like the end of Indiana Jones, isn't it? Top men.
Yeah. That's definitely top a reference to the men.
So I've got questions.
Go on.
Where's this guy's money coming from? Pediatricians don't make that much.
Dual PML.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Strickland is...
Yeah.
He wasn't a pediatrician before. He got put in as the pediatrician for this place so that he could deal
with... I mean, I don't understand. If he's a pediatrician, why is he being left to walk around without being put in prison for starters? But...
Ganymede, isn't God, it?
And then letting him, a pediatrician of all people, work with children.
I know.
Isn't that feet? No.
Pedi is also feet, isn't it? Yeah.
No, it's slightly different.
Pedicure.
Pedi and pedi. Ped are two different things.
So my question is, is this guy basically spending the 9 to 5 doing a normal
I don't think so. I think it's just a cover.
Yeah.
From what I get, because remember, his expertise was in completely different things. And then he turns up as a doctor on Ganymede. It's just a way to get him inserted and to get the raw material, if you like.
To source high quality children.
Yeah, basically.
That
to source the genetic materials.
You'd think someone would have twigged out, hang on a minute, this guy doesn't know how to actually do any medicine.
No, well, he would know. He's very well educated in medicine and genetics, and so he would know how to at least.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But he wasn't a pediatrician by trade, as it were. That was something that he got inserted as.
Yeah, I mean, he might have been a pediatrician when he graduated.
Not from the stuff that they were saying.
No, but he probably has enough medical knowledge to. He's probably qualified enough to be a paediatrician, or at least closely enough.
Probably.
To a degree.
Anyway.
Right? Like a GP. He's probably
It's a weird angle to take on the fact that he's basically a Dr. Mengele character that we're going to argue about his credentials, you know.
Yeah, I just find the cover
of it. He's not very ethical, is the important point here. Not whether he's actually a paediatrician or whether he's just a GP or whether he's a research scientist or, you know, those things are kind of, you know, sidelining things to the fact that he's a mad scientist building protomolecule creatures.
Funded by Protogen.
Protogen, of course, yeah.
In a secret...
Piss off, Peanut.
in a secret part of Ganymede, right?
Yeah.
Or was this another place?
No, it looked like Ganymede still.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
At a glance, anyway, it didn't seem like a different
place. Or at the very least, a neighbouring moon that would have been easy to get to.
But we kind of get an answer to a question we were asking last time. How many is plenty more, where that came from?
Oh, right,
Have you got the picture?
Chris is the man for the pictures there.
Yeah. No, I've got the picture here.
I've got Chris zoomed up in full screen now for the benefit of the tape. For the benefit of the tape, Chris is... looking pensive.
Exhibit D.
Yeah.
So that is...
is plenty.
That looks like plenty more, yeah.
So that's being sent away. You got all these up here. You got all this over here. You know, considering how many lights there are here, quite dim.
Yes, very dim, yeah.
But it's just a storage area, and they are all asleep.
You don't want to wake them all up.
Exactly, yeah. I was just going to say that. You don't want to wake the kids up. Yeah. I mean, we don't even know they're all children.
Nightmare getting them all back down again.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, wouldn't you have red lights if you wanted to keep the sleeping atmosphere going?
Yeah, but that would suggest Mars and your whole thing would be messed up.
I did notice actually in this episode that on the Martian ships, the normal lighting is the normal lighting in general. The normal lighting is red, and then when they go into combat mode or whatever, they go to blue. And in the Arbogast, it was red normally, and then when they went into emergency mode, they go to blue. So one goes blue to red, the other one goes red to blue.
I think you got it the wrong way around when you said it, but we know what you meant.
I think that's right.
Two of them the same way around.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Arbogast went blue to red.
Blue to red. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is cool.
But yeah, so I Dr. Strickland, you know, he's got lots of he's got a collection on the go. So
this is a very crisp question. is the Arbogast the first UN ship we've been aboard? I can't think of another one.
You know, I was going to say no, but it is. I think it might be the first one we've been on board. Yeah, because there's been other UN ships that we've seen going towards Tycho and getting in the battle over Ganymede, but I don't think we've been inside any of them. That's the point. Yeah,
interesting. Yeah,
we've been on a handful of Martian ships now.
Mm.
But yeah,
but the Arbogast is
Arbogast.
Like I don't even think of that as a UN ship, more just a science ship.
Yeah, it's a science ship. I mean, it is UN. Yeah, it's UN registered, but it's not
a
military.
Ship.
It's unarmed, right? Like
it's not a combat ship.
Yeah, it's not armed. Yeah. Oh, peanuts.
Oh.
I know he wants to play. The thing is, I thought he was going to be good today because he was out in the morning and he was actually off-lead running around playing with his friends this morning.
I think it's like, Hamish is talking to the wall again. And it's like, is he okay?
maybe he needs
a walk.
He clearly needs a friend. Like, he's just talking to this rectangle.
Yeah. Yeah, I do love the science guy and military science guy's bromance. I love it. Yeah, yeah. I was saying in your absence that the ship actually looked very small. Like they could only when it was disassembled, they could only have had a couple of sleeping pods around the outside.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I don't think it's meant to be a long term. Well, is it? I don't know. Science vessels, so maybe it is meant to be a long term thing.
Well, all you really need is like a mess and a sleeping pod, really, right?
I mean, they might not even have a mess, you know. Like it might be
possibly, yeah.
They might just be eating food out of tubes and stuff like that.
Eating food out of tubes.
Mm. Yeah, tubes. Yeah.
Maybe put like main course pudding.
Yeah,
yeah. You got to be careful; it doesn't get all over your face.
Yeah, you don't want to twist it or
yeah. A little bit twisting is okay, but you don't want to tear it.
No. So I mean, but then these guys are doing it for the love of the game, right? Like this isn't.
Yeah, exactly. You know, exactly
It's like
Arctic researchers who live in like awful conditions, but like they love what they're doing. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's the vibe I'm kind of getting. Maybe it's like they're doing that by design. Maybe they could have had a much bigger stuff, you know, a bigger ship, but they wanted to go for the sort of Antarctic expedition kind of, you know.
I think they wanted to get there fast. I think that's what we get from.
Oh yeah. Like it was just like
minimal ship, minimal crew.
Let's just go before Mars get there. Yeah,
and Mars not happy about that, obviously.
Yeah, but anyway, they got equally disassembled. So very
yeah.
I'm assuming they got all destroyed.
Do we see the Martian one get disassembled?
No,
we don't.
Don't see it being disassembled. So. No.
We don't see it get disassembled.
Incidentally, do you want to hear some? Now that we've seen this up to this end of the series, I can tell you a couple of things.
Okay, yeah, tell me a couple of things.
Right. Well, specifically, the two characters are one character in the books.
Which two characters? Oh, the science man.
Science guy and the captain science guy are two separate characters. And they're both sent back. Yeah. It's just to emphasize the different viewpoints more clearly, I suppose. Two different people are talking to them.
Yeah, well, it was very well written then and very well acted in that case. But also, I guess with a book, you can write people's internal monologue.
Yeah,
right?
That's the point. Yeah, the discussion within your own head is harder to portray on screen. Also, and don't look, but it's on an Expanse wiki. The crew listing is Colonel Janus, Michael Iturbe, the other guy, Abraham, the pilot, and Perky Tech. Technician.
That's so the pilot. That's the pilot. Cool never even gets a fucking line. He gets a name, but
no,
Perky
he does.
Tech,
he talks to them a few times.
Oh, did he get a line? Yeah, okay, yeah, but Perky Tech, who gets like a little sort of like romancy thing with Michael,
a flirty scene.
But also, like, I do like the pilot, like being right in the middle. That's kind of
they call the ship being taken about disaggregated, which I think makes more sense when you see it.
Disaggregated.
Yeah, I'm not going to say what it says after that because it's the fate of the ship afterwards.
Who's this one?
That's the same guy that was floating about.
No, there's an extra man there who isn't named on the wiki. Yeah, one of those is the pilot.
That's the pilot. Yeah, that's Abraham.
This
pilot.
Guy.
Yeah, there's more.
Oh, there was I assume that man was the pilot.
Yeah, there was more people on the bridge. There was like five or six of them easily. Okay. Yeah, but
I wonder if they have to share bunks.
You
mean take turns or at the same time?
Well, yeah, kind of submarine, turns, yeah. Share bunks at the same time.
Because they do it on like apparently in submarines.
Oh, I'm not saying
they
else.
Have like
I'm
sleeping
gonna,
bags
gonna,
all over the place.
Yeah.
Like I remember seeing on TV, there was like a guy who had his sleeping bag right next to like a fucking torpedo or something. It's just like that's just where I get a bit of space.
Trident nuclear warhead as your pillow.
Yeah. I hope it doesn't leak radiation or nothing because that would be a bad time. Apparently, and they do share bunks
enough.
in submarines.
Yeah,
I'm assuming it depends on the submarine, but I've heard.
Well, back in World War II, once they did.
Yeah, maybe now they have better storage or
don't
something.
Know. Depends on the size of the submarine, how many crew there are, I guess. Anyway, sorry, I've been sidetracked by stuff there.
By mischief, right? Do we want to go on to the Rocinante?
Yes, let's.
Yes, we haven't got there yet, and we've been quite a long episode, but that's because we were taking breaks and stuff as well.
And it is also the finale. So
it's the finale, so we're not going to rush past anything in this one.
So we've already covered the first scene with Prax and Amos, and Wes Chatham's V.
Well, there's no harm in going over it again.
I know his wound is quite low down.
Pardon?
Like, you know, by his wound. You know, he's got like a wound quite low down, but like they're is really it? Definitely. Giving
got,
him.
Oh yeah, no, that is. One yeah,
in,
yeah.
One in the shoulder, one on like the hip.
Oh, is he? I thought he was just shot in the arm.
I thought he was just shot in the arm. Yeah.
No, he's got.
That's not a wound, Chris. That's a cock.
Well, let's. I mean, I. You know, we can do. We can judge.
But no, they know what they're doing with that scene, and I appreciate it.
Oh, he has got. He's got a little thing in his side as well. No, go out the way again, Chris. I've got it full screen. You don't worry, you're not moving anything. No, stay over there. No, put your hand down. You're making it go away. Stay
that
there.
Was the voice. That was the voice you used with Peanut.
Yeah. Chris, stay. No, put your arm out the way. Every time you put your arm forward, you're changing it so that it disappears.
Is
right.
that correct?
Yeah, just stay there for a second. Right.
Where's
okay, wound, people can see
where's
it.
Where's the wound? Where's the wound lower down?
To the left of his belly.
Oh, I see. I thought that was a reflected light. Yeah, I see it.
Now,
yeah.
Chris, you can go back. Good boy.
Okay. Maybe his trousers.
No, he kept doing it. He kept pointing, and every time he pointed, the background disappeared because his finger was there. It was like
his trousers were just chafing him there.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure. Yeah. Prax is like, well, I've never done that before.
You want to rub what? Are you sure doctors do this?
Yeah.
Hello, Vera.
Hello. Hello, Vera. How you doing? Right. Anyway.
Okay. So the thing when
I
Alex
became
was...
northern for some reason.
Come on, then. Let's get on with it.
Come on, then. When they were flicking through the CCTV, that felt like a very real moment because they were flicking through it. Oh dear. Okay, this got ripped open with the shrapnel, and then oh my god, what the fuck is that?
Like, yeah. I love the way Naomi. Yeah, she acts that like
what the
genuine.
Fuck?
The fuck was it?
Yeah, she does. Like, that's very well delivered. That. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay, I don't want to be sexist when I say this, but it does have a seen a massive spider in the bath kind of what the fuck is that kind of, you know.
Can't believe how sexist you're being this episode.
I mean, it could be a man that's scared of a spider in the bath.
Oh, it could be, but it's probably a fucking woman, isn't it, Christopher?
Probably.
Ruining everything. Ruining games and games journalism and...
and all that.
He's not denying it.
I mean, how you can't deny it.
No, you can't. That's very much... what is it? When did you stop beating your wife?
Beating your wife, yeah.
I didn't.
on that note, if I may, another unprepared banter. Fraser Hines, what?
It is prepared.
In what way?
Well, you're preparing it right now in your head.
Oh, okay. Fraser Hines, the actor.
Chris.
Do you know where Fraser Hines is?
No.
I don't know.
You don't know, right? He used to be in Doctor Who as one of the companions back in Patrick Troughton days, I believe. And he was also in, I think he was in Emmerdale or something. He was quite, you know, a reasonably well-known actor. Anyway, he goes somewhere, like, in Canada or somewhere quite, you know, mild and tame. And he says, you've got to be careful of journalists because, you know, what you say and what you know, what gets reported could be accurate without being right. And basically what happens is a reporter asks him, oh, you know, while you're in Montreal, let's say for argument's sake, are you going to visit the red light district? And of course, the first thing Fraser Hines said when he got off the plane was, is there a red light district in Montreal? So that's what they report. The first thing Fraser Hines says when he got off the. Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, right. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Sorry, I bumbled my way through that instead of delivering it snappily. I've got to keep the standards down.
Yeah. We're not Americans.
We're not even raconteurs, you know.
We're not Americans here.
Goodness, no.
Whenever anybody says like something like, it reminds me a bit in The Godfather 2, where they're at a big mafia meeting and they go, after all, we're not communists.
So we get a lot of, okay, I really like, Prax is Prax in this one. I like it. You know, like it's like, I don't even think.
He makes himself more useful in this one. He's got a proper, you know, he's not just being waved away. He's finally shown that he is a worthy.
Also, he does a thing. Both he and Amos, actually, in this episode, do a very Star Trek thing by explaining things through metaphor.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. It was like, it's like, I've got an emergency story for this emergency circumstance.
Yeah. I knew this guy once. You need my whole backstory, but.
Yeah. Now that bit did sort of take me out, not in a bad way.
I enjoyed it though. I can imagine
Holden sitting there going, "Get to the fucking point."
Yeah.
I think that's a conscious nod to Star Trek.
Yeah. I even though it's not how I imagine such a scenario going down if it was real, it doesn't bother me because it's still enjoyable to watch.
It's not real. We're watching a theater.
Television program. Also. When Amos suggests that Prax goes and get his more, you know, his torch, you know, more welding materials and stuff and comes and helps, and he fucks off and disappears, surely Amos would be on the radio, on the intercom, going, where the fuck have you got to, you know?
Fuck are you?
There was a bit of urgency here, and that's why we wanted two people to be doing this. But no, he just wandered off and got... Oh, I was in the galley. I saw some plants. I like
that narratively that we see him having a. I know it's a bit produced, but like we see him having the idea. He sees the plants.
Yeah, and he's like, well, wait a minute, this thing's got nutrient gradient. Yeah, this thing's got needs. It's living in some, you know, so it needs living.
I've got a Chris Ware question.
I might have this in my head as well. Carry on though.
Yeah, because I think Hamish would have picked up on this actually. I don't know if this has been previously explained, but why are they welding without welding masks?
Oh, that wasn't what
space,
I was thinking.
Space welder. They've improved the technology so it doesn't fuck your eyes up anymore. But presumably, it's not bright enough.
And yeah, also he's kind of like
or he's got welding contact lenses in.
Maybe. No, that wasn't what I was going to think of mentioning.
A friend of mine did a bunch of welding without wearing the mask, and it's blind, gets bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's exactly. Just extreme pain in the eyes for weeks. Mm.
Like it's a big, I mean, it's...
It could just be they're in a hurry, but yeah, it seems unlikely because he is well-trained as an engineer, so...
And they would have welding masks. I mean, if they would, they would almost, it feels like on a ship like that, that they would have welding masks on every level in every cupboard or something like that, right?
I mean, there might be a tech explanation for that. You're right, though. I think it's just a mistake. I wouldn't say it's a
televisual thing, because you need, it would make it more confusing as who's who then. Because like welding masks are real full face things, right?
And it does imply doing it in a rush. You know, they're not doing it fully geared up. He's just doing it as quickly as he can, which...
Yeah, because they don't have aprons or shit like that on as well.
Mm, maybe you take the hit.
Is he still doing it topless?
He's doing it in like a t-shirt, I think.
Boiling himself up. Right, we'll get to the...
Okay, I might as well throw out the thing I was wondering then while we're at it. Right, so are we going to skip... I mean, I'm skipping ahead. But there's a bit of back and forth here. Do you want to talk about the character stuff as well? About Holden being trapped and... Do you have notes on that?
Because
I was going to jump. The thing I've got is for like when the creature gets out of the ship, when they take it out of the ship. So just carry on. There's two things actually.
Well, go on, yeah.
You just want me to go for it, yeah. I know. I get annoyed about being out of order, but you guys obviously
you'll be more annoyed if you forget.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So one thing is right as they finally destroy the creature. By basically incinerating it with the engines, would that warhead not react?
I wondered about that. I think it would just because when a nuclear warhead explodes, only some of the fissile material actually. I don't know what the verb is for fisses.
Fizzes.
Fissures?
Oh, no, you've got me. Oh, no. See, I think I would have known that if I hadn't thought about it.
Anyway, depending on the bomb, only some of that fissile material does it.
Yeah.
And the rest just gets vaporized by the heat of the explosion. So if that thing, which it probably is as hot as a nuclear explosion, then it would, because the heating it up, even extremely, wouldn't make it particularly more fissile.
No, you're right.
It might create a bit of fusion, but
yeah, probably it probably just broke actually, it I don't up, know. Actually, yeah.
It probably just vaporizes it. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. There's nothing to say because the detonation of a weapon or that kind of core.
I assume it's an implosion.
That would be an implosion core. Yeah, looking at it, yeah. So even then, it wouldn't work because it would sort of split open at the back, and the material would just spread away.
Would it not? I mean, I get that this is...
That very... wasn't the big one, though, to be honest.
I get that this is a cinematic scene, but would the blast not have just melted them and stuff, but would it not have thrown them away as well? Like, would
probably
it have not...
actually, yeah, the bits
I that... think maybe it's taken to be a bit of a slow motion effect. From what I'm gathering, it sort of melts and disintegrates.
But what we do learn is that that thing definitely doesn't feel pain, or at least not much of it.
Yeah, because it gets shot loads of times. It just kind of goes...
Well, no, this bit where it's literally being vaporized and it's just like, oh, where's my ball?
Yeah, and also it tears
the thing
out of its own chest.
I love Praxis sort of naivety within that scene. Not like he's being dumb, but like when he thinks, oh, it's a control mechanism, and some I think like Naomi or Amos goes, like, it's a fucking bomb, mate.
No, it's Alex. It says, no, that was a changing device.
That was a goddamn incendiary device
or something like that.
I mean, a kill switch, just like in Deus Ex, really, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what's meant to be. Yeah, well, which kind of proves that their idea of incinerating it is the right one.
That's a really smart thing to know about yourself.
I don't think it knows what it is. I think it just... It's irritated. I mean, if you had something stuck in your, wedged in your chest, you would be irritated by it. And if you felt no pain.
Because they do say it seems like it's scratching at first.
Like a splinter.
Yeah.
Essentially, right.
But it then pulls it out and throws it out of the
airlock. Yeah.
Yeah, but that seems more like, fuck off. like rather than I don't think it knows what I don't.
I'm not entirely convinced either way. To be honest, I could see it could be read either side.
I don't think there's any strong evidence either way, but my gut is it doesn't know what it is.
Okay,
but it reckons it's not something good.
But Prax takes it as a sign of intelligence, like it knew what it is and it was getting rid of it, which it may be right. Yeah.
I think there's, because it would have been planted at some point during the process. So I think that's perfectly valid. Anywho, the other thing is when they're running away from the you know, once they throw away the core and the creature jumps for it, they then run to get back in the ship with magnetic boots.
And when you run, there's a point where both of your feet are off the ground.
Yeah, and they're sort of, so it's the way they do it. You wouldn't be able to run. You wouldn't be able to help yourself from this, you know, suddenly pushing yourself off. So, and they sit, and they even go over a, where's my hand? They even go over a slight incline at one point. Now, obviously, the gravity doesn't matter about the incline, but the fact that they're having to reach their feet over.
This is very generous and very bullshit. But maybe that because they say do it, Amos, or whatever. No, because they only say that when they get back in the airlock.
Because if the ship was moving, they'd be fine.
I was thinking if Amos is swinging the ship around in just the right direction to give them some, to give them some, you know, essentially, yeah. But no, I don't think that's what's happening.
No, because they don't do it until they go back in the airlock.
No.
Or else they would literally be thrown off the ship.
Well, depending on which way it's going, but yeah.
Right. So
what I'm thinking is, so if they're jumping.
But they're not jumping. No, that's not the
point. Well, effectively, like, run it, yeah. But if the ship is swinging slightly in this direction, then that's effectively giving them some gravity for that moment, but that's silly.
Mm. No, it's magnetic boots that hold them on, but it's just...
I mean, it's swinging the ship up, so it's coming up to meet them.
Well, I'm looking at the frame by frame.
Hang on, let's bring Chris up fully again.
Okay. Okay, so I'm going to try and find... Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. So this might be a bit tricky to see because it's black on black, but I think it demonstrates what you're saying pretty well. I mean, it's a solid close-up. Right, where
just
do I need
to right
be?
Duck right down, Chris. Duck right down. Yeah, so there you go. Yeah. There's no way that is boot is magnetized to the surface.
Yeah. I think that's invalid. Yeah. I'd never noticed that. Yeah,
because they run, but that's probably more to do with the actors running than it is to do with how people in those boots would react. Because they probably do have a way of moving quicker in them. But I suspect it would be more of a shove. Because, like Scott, if you ever see sort of people that are not used to snow and ice. And compare that to like a Scottish person, for example. Like I see people in the snow and ice down here.
And I
walk and my feet are flat and it's like a shuffly sort of walk.
So they'd be doing like in the Olympics the walking event.
Yeah, that'd be kind of like what I reckon it would be like. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a petty thing, really, but it's just.
It's fun to notice these things. It's not like we're not the kind of nerds who are like it's ruined the whole fucking.
No, it's just not like a rubber knife.
No, I bet they hired a woman for that job, didn't they?
Wow, Chris,
we just can't keep it bottled up, can you? Just for one episode,
another DEI hire, lowering the standards. I don't know. Okay, just putting this out there. I just want to just clear it up. Just get rid of the elephant in the room. Doesn't have genitals. It does. The idea.
No, it's an action man or a Ken or whatever. Isn't it?
Ken doll. But then again,
it's also like, got a very flat, smooth head. Not flat, smooth. Rounded, smooth head.
Not non-Euclideanly flat.
Peanut. No.
But if you're absorbing through radiation, you know, your nutrients or your energy, then you're not going to defecate, right? Are you?
Yeah, but also at that point, why do you need a mouth and a nose? Does it have a mouth and a nose? It has a mouth and a nose. Yeah, but it's a TV show, isn't it?
Like, well, also fine. it's a hybrid as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. It is designed. if it's, I mean, it might be a hybrid. It might be like from my, I'm talking
or a mutation.
I mean, it's possible that this one is a girl monster, and there's there are boy monsters with external genitalia that we haven't seen yet.
Quite possibly. But my assumption, the way I thought of it, and I'm perfectly willing to accept that I'm wrong here, that these were designed in the image of a human rather than actually from a human. Now, I know that they talk about it on Ganymede as like using children and turning them into this. Mm. But this is obviously does not have the body of a child. That is the body of, well, it's bigger than a person, right? We saw it on.
No, I think when
also
you see
it moves like an animal sometimes, like on all fours almost.
But when you see it particularly in the cargo hold, I think there's something childlike about it. And I think explicitly childlike about it. To me, it reads some of its reactions and stuff seem quite childlike.
Yeah, that's.
I can't. I wish I could be more
sort of instinctive and not learned.
But the proto molecule.
Sort of innocent. There's an innocence to it.
But the proto molecule might design the proto creature based on the, like, a more practical body, but it might be the mind of the child that it uses. And maybe
that's what I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And because maybe they like the using the minds of children because they're like more controllable, more malleable. They're less likely to go rogue. You can train them or coerce them
Also, just this is the child, you know, in a very Mengele sense. This is a child matured in a different way.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Now I don't.
You're sinking
know
again.
If this, I don't know if this has anything to do or like any kind of metaphorical sort of parallel between what I keep thinking Wes Chatham rather than Amos now for some reason.
Sorry.
that's Hamish is doing. But with when Amos is talking about like child trafficking in a couple of episodes ago, like I don't like it. It feels like there's a parallel to Chicken Guy to Dr. Strickland to the trial traffickers that Amos knows, like it's the same kind of disregard for innocent life, right?
Mm. And that's what gets Amos's blood boiling. Yeah, he cares very much about the welfare of children.
Yeah, and I too am going to take the stand that turning children into abominations is the wrong thing to do.
Hot take of the show.
Just let children be children.
Yeah, know? don't turn them into genetically mutated monsters.
You don't need to do science experiments.
Trade for combat. It's just not. No,
you don't need to cryogenically freeze them in case
you need them for later. Yeah,
And as a result of that, because I think we all feel this way and we all feel quite strongly, we shan't be watching any more of this show.
Yeah, we've had enough.
We can't stand for it.
Yeah,
anymore.
Chris, you're not allowed to watch any more of this.
No.
Okay. All right.
I know we know what happens. We've seen it all, but honestly, you're not missing anything if this is the kind of thing they're getting up to. We don't want to be involved with it.
I can't support that level of child abuse. No.
Also, depicting women in positions of power and the world going, you know, well.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. The world isn't going well.
No. When I said that, I was like,
yeah, I wonder what you remember. But putting a woman. Well, she's not really in charge. She's got two men looking after her. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
They make sure she doesn't get too hormonal.
Big for a boot.
Yeah.
You know, it's a toast. She's just like, you know, it's good for PR.
good for PR. Yeah, we've got a woman on the team, is what they say. Yeah.
You know, get a woman's perspective.
And she's a brown woman, so it's, you know, ticking a lot of boxes.
I mean, it's just more economical to tick all of the boxes at once.
Yeah.
And an older woman, a woman of a certain age.
A woman of a certain age. Yeah.
Well, she's not going to run off and have babies, you know, and like.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, and what, like, the one that she already has is already dead, so, you know.
Yeah. Wow.
But child abuse aside,
I'm beginning to wish I hadn't put that email address up there. Dear points of view.
Did that show die with Terry Wogan?
Does it still exist?
I mean,
as far as we like,
was Terry, I didn't even know Terry Wogan was on it. Was the host at one point? So there you go.
No, I didn't know that either.
I think the only
I mean, no, you're not going to know, but when's the last time you, of your own volition and with intent, watched broadcast television?
Me.
Any of you, anyone?
Oh, like when I'm 20
odd years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh well, I suppose that my mum's have seen a bit of it now and again.
That's yeah. I don't think that counts as yeah.
For me, it's whenever I'm staying at a hotel, and I always go to the channel where they put The Chase on all the time.
My mum talks about that show a lot. Is that the one with Bradley Walsh?
Well, one of the many ones with Bradley Walsh. Well, he's presenting a lot of shows. Presents The Gladiators as well.
Was that that's back, is it, isn't it?
Yeah. It's not too bad. Like, you know, it is what it is.
Oh, go away. He's annoying me. Chris. We've been out in the pissing rain and wind. He's got food.
Despite
he's got
a warning.
I don't know what else he wants.
Did you guys get the government
warning?
Yeah, I got the...
Yeah.
I thought you meant Peanut had a warning. Like, I couldn't be clearer with you, Peanut.
Mm. I was driving at the time the warning came through, and I was like, "But
did
it
you
gets,
crap yourself."
I was like, "Oh my god, is my car like?" Because I
you know what is that? Go and lie down. Go on, go away. You can see, listens to me.
I don't understand what you're saying. Can you please speak dog?
No, that didn't work. My microphone appears to be noisy, it just said when he barked. Come here. Sweet. Come here.
It's like, fuck off and then come here. Like, what am I supposed to think?
He knows that if I get a hold of him that I won't let him, like, leap around and bark. That's what's wrong. It's like, come here.
Oh, he knows he's got your attention now.
That's
he's loving it.
That's it. Right, now I've got him. I've got him in a cuddle lock now for a minute.
What was I going to say? What were we talking about before Peanut rudely interrupted us?
I think we were going off on a weird tangent anyway.
Women. What are they all about?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah, so I think we've... Well, do you want to talk about any of the character stuff from the Morrison and Anti scenes? Because... There is some nice little things. Like when he comes back, I mean, we're doing it backwards, or I'm doing it backwards, but when he's in the sick bay and his leg's all crushed and everything, so he's got all the medical, you know, he's got like two casts on it and all the medical stuff's been done to it. Everybody keeps slapping his leg.
Yeah, I love that, yeah.
Good old knee slapping.
Yeah, basically, you're all right.
I love the bit when Amos is talking about what's happening to Holden, his leg being crushed and potassium being released
yes,
and all that.
That was it.
Prax just goes, you know a lot about how people die. And Amos kind of goes, yeah.
Yeah, I guess I do. Yeah.
I'm just gonna
I think Amos could be a good medic himself, actually.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't know how to fix it. He knows what's wrong, but he doesn't know how to fix it.
Well, he knows how to make it happen as well.
Yeah.
But, I mean, being a good diagnostician is, like, the hardest bit, right?
Yeah, I guess so, Brian. Yeah. Knowing what's wrong, yeah. You can look up what to do with it once you know what it is.
Yeah, you got it's just a matter of knowing what to Google. And I'll tell you what, that's computers as well,
Space
isn't it?
Google.
That's computers in it.
Computers in it. That's the most technical thing we've had.
Yeah.
This is not a technical podcast.
VCR's always flashing zero at me. I don't know what to do. It's just computers, isn't it?
12 o'clock flasher.
Okay, so Naomi comes clean and revelation.
Also, going back to something you guys were talking about previously, before that, she says, you know, welcome back, Jim. She's like, she's got her holding back, she thinks. But I mean, I also think that you guys made a good point. I think Drew particularly made a good point in the last episode saying, yeah, but he's came down a bit from previously. What's to say that he's not going to do it again, sort of thing? But
it's like those Naomi's friends who behave poorly and then apologize for it and then do it again. It's like, well, it's incumbent upon the apologizer to at least try not to do it anymore. My loyalties in this sort of like back and forth between Naomi and Holden, my loyalty shift, like when Naomi previously was like, oh, I can't be around this, I need to get away with that. I find that a bit irritating. But now she's come clean to Holden, and I'm only judging it based on how I felt during this scene, his reaction appears to be angry. Like, at this point, mate, you've got no fucking right to be angry. After the way you've been behaving for the last few episodes, you've got no right to be fucking angry with Naomi about that. Because she she also explains why she did it. And you cannot say that that explanation doesn't make sense.
I need to go back to the last episode as well and see if there's any point where she does that on screen. I mean, she doesn't have to. It's not important, but... You know,
does what,
makes the communication to Fred.
Oh, right, you're right.
I don't know if he was angry. He just seemed...
He's very up... Naomi, what have you done? With, like, almost, like, crying. Like, it's a big deal to him. It read as angry to me. It read as the beginnings of, you know, rage.
And it also had that sort of slightly uneven thing that sometimes Alex and Holden both have of... judging things from the inner's point of view instead of taking a bigger picture point of view. Mm. You know, which is Naomi. And Naomi. Mm. I don't think she does it in a... She does almost the opposite, but not in a thoughtless, privileged point of view, but in a conscious, balancing kind of way, you know?
Yeah. I think that's why I think you do get that from being from being on the rough end of a power dynamic. You don't just learn your problem; you learn that it's all connected, right? You learn to have empathy.
The way that Naomi explains it now, presumably, obviously, if this was real, and you know, their emulation of this seems pretty good. Is that she's going to have rehearsed this a few times in her head. She's going to have...
There's earlier in the episode, she goes to say it and then doesn't. Mm. She's got, I've got something to tell you. And then she said something else. It's definitely, what you just said.
But the way that she explains it, and maybe at the time that she explains it as well, I totally am on her side.
Yeah, I'm on her side as well. Yeah.
Like
she explained, but that's the thing. I think that's what Drew's saying. Is she does explain it and rationalize it.
Mm.
And if you want to talk about it, yes, but to be just annoyed is not quite the reaction.
But personally, I would have sent it to Dawes, not Johnston. But
I know you would have.
I realize that might be.
I don't think that would have made Holden any happier.
No, certainly not.
Because I think he sides with Dawes a bit.
I mean, I've just understood something in my head. Because I was going to say she should send it to Dawes because he's got the scientist. That's why she sends it to Fred, to force Fred and Dawes to work together, maybe.
Maybe.
Oh, that's very good, yeah.
To bring Beltis together a bit.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. Like, I see Dawes as being a little bit, like... quick to anger, maybe, in a way that, like, I guess I can see Dawes.
Really?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't see that. I know what you're getting. He's definitely more... He's more willing to use violence more quickly than Fred is, I think.
I think that's... Yeah. And I'm not necessarily saying one is justified over the other, but when it comes to proto-molecule, I would rather the slower thinker over the faster... thinker, if that makes sense.
The less reactive person,
yeah.
And Fred does seem to think things
through. Things.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit too much at times, but you know.
Although,
I mean, when it comes to things like the Naboo stuff, he just uses it for his own purposes, and then you know he's quite blasé and you know quick.
I mean,
that was a huge
emergency. Like,
the previous time when he's using to spy on things and stuff.
Just for his
own ends, basically, you know.
Yeah, but I think with the proto-molecule, if we're likening it to a nuke, or at least nuclear technology, so it can be something that can be used for construction or destruction.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Fred is I don't know, because like Fred is in the business of construction, literally. You know, he builds the Naboo, he builds Tycho, presumably, right?
Mm.
Did he actually create Tycho?
I don't think he personally built Tycho, but he, you know, your point still stands, yeah.
Yeah. But then again, like, Dawes also is a building man. Like, he builds up communities, he builds up...
In a different way, he's a builder, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think of Dawes as a union man. Like,
very much so, yeah, yeah.
And that's a building kind of mentality too. So I don't know. I guess I mean, I think the belt should have it. That's a given. If Earth and Mars have it, like Naomi's like, yeah, look, you know, this brings OPA a seat at the table, and hell, if it can help them terraform, then that's fucking wonderful. Mm-hmm. Right? Like that makes it all, in my opinion, all justified. Is mm-hmm. you know, like the belt are not an aggressive people outside of their own, right? Like they don't generally. You've got your individual actors. You've got was it the Black Hawks or whatever it is?
Yeah, Black Sky.
They don't have a military. They don't have a formal military.
No, yet. And also Black Sky might just be the. Yeah, they might not be representative of the
rotten
general
apples in the bus.
Yeah. They're the ones that all the thuggish types are attracted to, or something. You know,
I think they're definitely on the more radical end of the factions. That's where you go if you're a bit more of a radical. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but like, you know, I'm sure most of them are just like more like unions. You know, maybe a bit more than unions, a bit more. You know, like a bit more. Militant than what? Well, certainly what we think of unions today. Mm. Maybe what we'd want unions to be. Maybe
well, yeah. Unions just to be. I mean, it's not. I mean, it's in our lifetime. Well,
I will say that
in
I think
mine and Drew's lifetime that we had proper unions. You know,
yeah,
and they got destroyed villainized in the press and.
I think Dawes would shoot a CEO. I think Fred Johnson would advocate for. Changing
up
it
CEOs.
voting for the right politician who would, you know, I think Fred's a bit of a blue no matter who, and Dawes is a bit more of a, you know, a Bernie or something. I mean, you know,
Bernie or Bernie. Yeah, I kind of get that. Yeah. Like, I get that. And, you know, if I'm being particularly, when we're talking about the blue no matter who, we're not talking about the types of Democrats that like are thrilled.
Why do you two talk so much in American?
Because it's about American politics. Yeah, because British politics.
I don't understand as much of it, to be honest. You know,
but British politics is entirely at the behest of American politics.
And also, it's the time of the year. Like
Yeah.
I mean, we could talk about French politics. That's pretty wild at the moment. Yeah. Or South Korean politics.
I was thinking British politics would make more sense because all three of us are British and we might have followed it better. That's all.
I follow American politics more closely than British politics because American politics has far more impact on the world.
And it has more interesting characters, if I'm honest, as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like what's that George Santos guy? Man, he's fucking crazy. Like he oh my god, there was like a charity where like oh my god, or the guy that Jared Kushner's father tried to get his brother-in-law to be seduced by a sex worker and then film it or something like that. Like
it's all like an episode of Dallas, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. You don't get that shit. But Keir fucking Starmer is the most.
I know he's so fucking boring. He's so fucking boring.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but he just fucking is, you know. And I got to be honest, I'm a bit disappointed in Kemi Badenoch. She's not that interesting. I thought she'd be way more interesting than she is.
If the ship's sinking, I'd rather have. And then, like a Trump, is just let's be entertained on the way out. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, a bit of me. I realize, I understand what I'm saying, but you know what I mean, though, right?
Yeah, we all have those destructive impulses.
Yeah. Well, if the ship's sinking, the band should keep playing. It's you know.
I mean, front row seats to the end of the world. Well, you know, we might as well enjoy the show, even if we're all gonna. Die in a nuclear blast or something. Sorry, that's a bit nihilistic. Hey, come on! Like we it could be the case. I don't know. This is some weird ass optimism, but it's like living through the end of the world could act like.
Oh yeah!
I mean, what a time to be alive!
What a time to be alive! We'll have stories for our grandchildren.
In the afterlife, whatever that may be.
Yeah.
No, I was talking about the film.
Oh my
god!
Think of the clerical nightmare that fucking afterlife will be after the world blows up, mutually assured destruction. Everyone dies in a weekend. St. Peter's got his fucking work cracked out for a minute.
I don't have the resources for this, mate. You're gonna have to wait.
You have to wait. Well, that's what purgatory is for, isn't it? There's a line in The Predator, the film, the fourth, fifth. Can't remember, I've lost track. Anyway, that Predator
Three
film.
Times a lady.
But there's a line about some say it's the end of time. Somebody says something about the end of times, and somebody else says the problem with the end times is it never is.
Well, yeah, and I agree with that. It might be this time. But,
yeah. But there's
CEO assassination. And I mean, if somebody told me that's a time traveler coming to fix our timeline, I'm prepped to believe that, right? First of all, because that could be the turn. This could be the turning point where we go, because we've been on the bad timeline for a very long time. This might be the corrective that we need.
Yeah. I mean, it's just nice to have something to unite around exactly. The end of the year. It's a Christmas miracle.
Really is.
Ewoks in the Death Star.
Yeah. God, I was not expecting news this good, you know, at the... Because the person that leaked the Panama Papers, they ended up dead, didn't they?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, they often... It's like the one... Well, no, yeah. I was going to mention the scientist whose science they corrupted to make the dodgy dossier to justify
he mysteriously died, didn't he?
He committed suicide.
Yeah.
Hung himself in the woods or something?
Literally a DeGraff.
Yeah.
Only probably less of a twat.
Yeah.
You really don't like to graph.
You don't like, that's the thing, isn't it? It's like, I mean, I guess it would be a difficult story for the media to cover.
In Britain, like this wouldn't float in America, but in Britain, like the MO, I'm not sure who does it, MOD or like somebody will literally come around and go, you can't publish that. It's a particular type of gag order that has a particular name.
Oh, an injunction.
No, it's very specific to
official secrets stuff.
It's under the official secrets, but the
I've signed the official secrets act.
It's like a green order, or it's called something along those lines. They just come down to the paper and go, "You can't publish that. That's against national interest," kind of thing. And the paper legally has to adhere to that. They didn't with the Snowden stuff. They ignored it with the Snowden stuff, and the Guardian did. You know, back when the Guardian actually reported. Anyway, that's a huge. Let's get back to the show.
I'm impressed that Snowden's managed to keep himself alive and still be a person, like as in like a personality. He's out there talking. Like fair play to him, you know. Like,
maybe he's got a lot of contingencies set up.
Oh, he knows what he's doing because his girlfriend, when they went on the run. She's like a big Instagram person, Instagram celebrity. So he was bending over backwards to make his girlfriend happy that she could use Instagram whilst they were on the run. So that takes fucking knowledge to like, you know. I want to know what his VPN provider is. He's not bad when it comes to like privacy advice. You know,
I think he's a bit of an oddball, and I think there's some weird like I wouldn't say necessarily without reservation like him, but. He did good for the world for sure.
I like him, but he's not without his flaws. But there's explanations for him. Like for example, he's never said anything that I wholeheartedly have taken offense or not. You know, like taken.
It's more deeper character stuff. Like he from I think from my impressions from an early age, very much wanted to join the US military, and for me that is a why. Like
yeah, but so did Chelsea Manning.
I would have that question with Chelsea Manning as well. Like,
Okay. Chelsea's Manning's pretty ACAB nowadays.
Yeah. I mean, they both turned around on that, and that's a good thing. Yeah. But, yeah.
I think Snowden has some friends that I wouldn't trust. But then when you're in the situations that he's in, you need all the friends you can get, right?
So, and also, your choice is limited.
Yeah. Worst circumstance. So, you know, I accept him that he's a net positive. That's my opinion. Mm, I think. Mm. You know, and also, God bear in mind, none is perfect, right?
No.
So, and also, I always found it quite amusing that when it all dropped, like everyone was saying, "Oh, he's hot though, isn't he?" So, life in all its characters, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. It takes all sorts.
He's a lot better than that guy, the whistleblower from Google about the AI, saying like the AI, it's intelligent. It's a person. It's like,
Well, because they were leaking secrets, and that was just some nut job talking bollocks.
He was talking. He was talking bollocks. I don't think he was smart enough to understand.
The difference between AI and reality?
Sort of. Like, I think he was a bit... I mean, here's a funny story, right? I was in an IRC room many years ago, and with some somewhat techie people, and they had a bot. And I was talking to the bot for about a week, 10 days before I even knew it was a bot.
Yeah, yeah, I've had that. Oh, yeah, I mean, you can speak to a bot. I mean, Eliza is the...
But like, I was asking how it was doing and all that kind of stuff. And it was like, yeah, I'm fine, all that. It had the standard responses. Never particularly had a deep conversation with it. But like, it had me... And it was someone had to point it out.
Well, it also like, now you're prepared for that.
You're anytime. A lot more critical now. Yeah.
Yeah, whereas back then you're not expecting it. It wasn't something. Mm. Yeah.
And also, like, you take people on face value, right? Like, I wasn't. Mm. I was my. I was just like, hey, how you doing? You know, like you don't.
Yeah.
You don't analyze people. It's a bit rude to analyze people all the time, really, isn't it? Like,
Are you a real
like you take things in good faith, in less
as we should. Like, we should. Our default should be trust, but that should be situational and contingent.
Yeah, and also, like, it's easier to take people on good faith in person than like just a faceless person on IRC, right? Mm. Like, you know, if someone on IRC says something, I mean, I am quite. I don't want to use the word gullible, but I do.
No, me too. Yeah, I am gullible.
On good faith.
Yeah.
And if you look up gullible in the dictionary, there's a picture of you, Chris.
The gullible's written on your ceiling.
Oh, what? Well,
I'd rather be. I'm proud to be gullible. I'd rather be gullible and be hurt sometimes than be shut off and cold and yeah.
Yeah, totally. Totally with you on that one. Mm. Like, I try my best, and I think I do a relatively good job at enduring the disappointment of when I'm wrong, but still
you get more reward than
you get more out of life, you know.
Yeah, I think so.
Because at the end of the day, especially in person, I think the internet can sometimes bring out sides of people that aren't real. If that makes sense, does that make sense?
It's a bit like in vino veritas. It's like in internet veritas or something.
The internet is not truth or something.
In vino veritas is in wine truth, meaning that who you are when you're drunk, that's the real you. If you're drunk, you're a mean person. If you're a reckless drunk, that holds true.
I'm a mischievous drunk.
Yeah. You're a mischievous person. So yeah, that stacks up.
I don't know. I've never liked that because I don't drink because I don't like who I am on when I'm drunk.
Oh right, okay.
And it's like,
I mean, all it does, not all drinking does, but it removes your inhibitions, right? So what comes out is what you usually suppress. It holds up all the people I've known who've mean drunks who were mean drunks have turned out to be mean people.
I'm certainly not a mean drunk.
But I think the internet is similar in that it removes consequences. Alcohol doesn't remove consequences, but it makes you forget about consequences.
The
internet removes consequences, so it allows you to be what you usually suppress.
Exactly. Yeah. And also, yeah, like there's just not a face. There's not a person there reacting.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I'm in a relatively conservative-ish area. But I don't really have any enemies. Like, you know, it's not, you know.
No. And this is like, when I say that, like, because I'm quite happy to coexist and talk with people who have very different political beliefs to me. And people think that means the same, like it's okay for Trump and Hillary Clinton to be friends. No, that's very different. They are when you're dictating. Anyway, that's a different kind of.
Anyway, are we finished with this show then?
I've got some lines that I want to mention.
Okay.
So there's a bit when they think Holden might be dying, and Amos talks to him on the radio and says, "You made some pretty stupid choices since you've been in charge, but you're always trying to do the right thing." And I love that. That's Amos trying to be thingy. And then the bit where Prax says, "I thought patching bullet holes would be the strangest thing I did today."
Yeah. Disassembling a nuclear warhead instead.
I'm kind of surprised that Prax was as involved in that as he was, considering Naomi is obviously more experienced with.
Yeah, but she does make a sort of MacGuffin reason why two of them need to do it.
Oh, I get why he's also the... to do it, but he's like holding. He's the one throwing the nuclear warhead, like.
Yeah, I mean, that's for us, so he's checking whether it's May, and, you know, he delays it for as long as possible to check whether it's May. I don't know how he would know, but maybe a father would.
Maybe he's hoping that he'd recognize something.
Mm.
Or that it might stop.
You know,
I don't know if I'm disappointed is the right word, but like, I
you wanted him to join the crew.
Kind of, like, yeah.
What I explicitly don't want, and again, I'm only speaking with the knowledge of where we're up to, what I don't want is a moment where it's like, I know you're in there somewhere, I just have to reach you and talk. Like, I don't want that. I'm done with that. That's too trite.
I was hoping for some kind of interaction.
Mm.
I don't know what I was expecting.
Well, we know that isn't May, for starters. So I know that's not necessarily your point. But
we kind of thought that was the same one from the demo anyway, didn't we?
Yeah. Mm.
It wasn't explicit, but it was kind of...
Mm.
Or another model that's just off the shelf type of thing. I don't know. Like, I mean, I think they did a really good job at sort of indicating that it was like, well, it was in the bay with Holden for... you know, all that time, and it wasn't interested in Holden, and even when it knew that Holden was alive.
Oh, I think they're being very clear that it's not evil. It's not. I don't know what word to use, but it doesn't want to do harm to people. But it's like, you know, if you're trapped in a room with a tiger and you've got a stick, you're going to fucking defend yourself, right? Like,
sort of. I think they're a bit quick to fire, though. They, you know, like,
yeah. Amos, I agree. Amos and Holden. I think they're a bit too. Yeah, I think in that situation, I think but they just want it off the ship because it's dangerous and they want it off the ship.
You've got to remember the big difference between the rest of the Ross and Anti-Crew and Prax at this point is they've seen firsthand what happens with the Verge molecule, what things can happen. They've seen the Anubis.
Mm-hmm.
They've seen what happened to Julie. And they've seen the overall things that happen.
That doesn't
on Eros.
Necessarily make them right. That's kind of a weakness in a way.
I never said it made them right.
No, I know.
Their reaction to anything involved in proto molecules.
But they are actually
that. Like when he goes to try and investigate the child's body that they find, and they're like, "Don't touch that. That's proto molecule." Mm. You know, and it's
They're reacting from the emotion of like the trauma, essentially. Prax is coming from an emotional. This could be. I mean, he is a pessimistic person to begin with, but he's, you know, this could be my daughter, or you know, if it's not.
They're also protecting him from himself.
Yeah, for sure.
You don't want to touch anything to do with the proton molecule, basically,
none of them have full information.
No, they don't have full information, but at the same time, caution is definitely more.
From what they've been through, I would say caution is a smarter move.
I mean, it's understandable, but like, I was just thinking, right? Look at that fella's face, right?
Cheeky bunky.
That is a scary face, and I'm thinking, is it designed to be look? Is it designed to look monstrous? Is it designed as a weapon?
Yeah, maybe.
Do you mean in the logic of the show, or?
Yes.
Like, in universe, is it designed
in universe?
Because it was made as a weapon, wasn't it?
Yeah, if it's made of a weapon,
maybe a soldier. This is the thing: it's a soldier. They want to replace the Martian. The Martians want it to replace the expensive marine stuff.
Because the thing is, if it's not automatically violent, which might be by design, it might mean they might not want aggressively violent creatures like this because they're going to be impossible to control. Maybe using an innocent child, right, as the mind for a creature like this would make it pacifistic. But if they make it like scary looking, like a monster,
then you'll shoot it and it will
shoot it and then it will defend itself.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And maybe that's a commentary on
Chris, that's a very good point.
We shouldn't judge things on how they look, because inside they might have the mind of a child.
Well, I mean,
I certainly do.
That's what they do with soldiers, isn't it? They dehumanize your enemy.
Yeah,
you know.
So that's just a I don't know, like a thought or a that sounds like a very expanse thing to.
No, I'm genuinely impressed with that one. I like that one.
Thank you.
You're a very good boy, Chris.
Thank you. Do I get a gold star?
No, you get a doggy treat.
Oh, do you know, right, when I was literally 7 years old, my primary school got its first computer, Windows 3.1, I think it was, or 3.11, and the good old days, and I like they were really stuck in setting it up, and they knew I liked computers at that age, so they asked me to help. Which is weird in hindsight, thinking like you're asking like a 7 year old in the class to help you like set up this computer, because I think that they thought they broke it or something, and I was and it was like something really trivial. It was just like working out to like the login details or something like that, you know, like. And I logged in, and the teacher that was teaching us in year two, she's called Miss Smith. She's quite old, so I don't feel she's still with us now, but she was known for being quite strict. Like, nice, but strict. And she gave me 7 gold stars, which is orders of magnitude more than anyone has ever gotten. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, I was so exploited. Because, like, they bought me off in gold stars. They could have given me cash.
Also, that would have created an inflation crisis.
Yeah. Yeah,
the devaluing gold stars. And that,
although that actually, the gold stars only really last to the end of the day, don't they?
Oh, do they? I've never had the concept at any school I've been to.
You take the jumper off,